Folks, this is Matt from the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
ShiningWizards.com.
Do you remember the days when Dynamite Kid could walk? Me too. Relive those fun memories at Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea.
We were going to slow the show down a little bit, but as usual, we're cooking. You okay, Double A?
You said bottoms up. I guess you took it literally.
Well, I guess she did. You okay, baby?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. Well, as promised, the world tag team champions, Flying Brian and Stunning Steve Austin, the Hollywood Blondes. Here they are. Woo! All right. Flying Brian, all right, brother. Good to see you.
How you doing, Rick? Come on, you're good today, didn't I?
You got a pretty good grip for a young fella.
How you guys doing?
Good. Hey, I can't tell you, we're thrilled enough to have you on the show. You know, Brian, I've known you 5-6 years now, brother. You're finally at the top of your game. Steve just caught your act in the last couple months, but Double A tells me you could be the man someday, brother. You guys got the straps now. You're the champs.
Yeah.
You're on top. What do you think, huh?
It feels good to be on top, Rick, but before we get started, I just want to say that Brian and myself have been on sets everywhere, and this is top-notch. This is the best I've seen. You've done well for yourself, old man.
Oh,
I know, Steve.
Man.
There's a little stuff in here today. There's a little stuff in here. I feel like I'm in a museum.
You got some great antiques here, Rick. How much pay for that old statue over there?
Steve, that's Double A. Anyway, Rick, you've had a fabulous career. What was it, 6-7-time world champion?
Nine times.
Yeah, but
statues.
Can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Could I get your autograph? Mind you, it's not for me. My great-grandmother is a big fan of yours.
Oh, gee, Brian, you know, well, for the sake of your great-grandmother and for the sake of people that grow old, you know, we all grow old, but very few of us get great, Brian.
Hey, speaking of great, I was in the history books just the other day, and I was looking back, way, way back, when you, Rick, and Double A were part of a elite organization. It was the Four Clovers, the Four Hunchbacks.
No. The Four Horsemen.
Oh, you mean that famous backfield from Notre Dame?
Well, similar. We did about the same thing for wrestling they did for Notre Dame. You know, we blazed our own path right across the country. We dominated.
What, you dominated, Rick? But that was yesteryear. That's all in the past.
Well, hey,
if the Four Horsemen were around today, they wouldn't stand a chance because the Hollywood Blondes are the team of the 90s. You're looking at it right here.
Well, listen, you know what? I didn't bring you out here to run you down or anything else. I want to talk about, and I'm sure the folks out here want to talk about, Slamboree 93. You got Shane Douglas. You got Ricky Steamboat. You got the steel cage. You're looking at you guys. You ready for the match?
Look, Rick, we've already given Steamboat and Douglas a brush with greatness. Let's not lose sight of the fact of the real reason we're all at Slamboree. Thanks to the generosity of Steve and myself, we're flying in all those has-been, washed-up old-timers, these so-called legends who are falling on hard times, and we're going to bring a nice, hot, home-cooked meal to them. And I got to believe your right-hand man, old Double A, might be first in line at that buffet because it's obvious he hasn't missed too many meals lately.
Double A.
Hey, brother, we want to let this slide tonight. We got a hot show going here. You guys, you know what? You got to remember one thing. You're the guest on my show.
You're out of line, and you're out of your league on this deal, pal.
Everything worth this, Double A. Like I said, you guys are the guests on my show. We're not going to take this. You sit down, we'll forget the whole thing ever happened. Let's keep talking here.
No. I got to say, hon, who are we kidding? You guys are going to be there, too. You get together with the rest of the old codgers, maybe after the meal, play some checkers, chew some razors, maybe soak the dentures. You got to travel some more time.
Is that right, huh?
Yeah.
You guys are coming across pretty good right now.
Scrubs.
Maybe we should talk about this a little more seriously.
Well, maybe I was ready to ask you a question, Rick. Maybe before you blow that pacemaker, you tell Brian and myself, are you ever going to break out those mothballed old trucks of yours with the wool on them and get that robe that's made out of pterodactyl feathers and
break out that,
and get back in the ring? Can you cut the mustard?
Oh, is that right? Well, maybe I can break that stuff out right now, and I can show you how to cut the mustard.
Get him a chair and pull him up.
A chair and pull him
up. You guys are fine by my show. This is my show.
Calm him down, BB. I'm trying to keep myself together, man.
Huh?
Double A?
Mental Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Hey, I'm Matt Jackson.
I am Nick Jackson.
You are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
Rantum Radio, Nick.
Rantum. Rant EM.
You'll have to keep that one.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all, right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast!
Woo! Yeah!
I got long sideburns and my hair slick back. I'm coming to your town.
That's Hall of Famer Honky Tonk Man. I don't do podcasts.
I don't do podcasts, but he went on Cole Cabana's podcast.
Fuck him.
What a mook.
I saw a thread on Facebook. I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, episode 294.
How unprofessional of you.
March 1st, 2019, I am your gracious host, the heavyweight primate, the blue-collar scholar, the Yoda of yesteryear, the impact player, Mr. Philly Rea, and I am always joined by...
Choppy's a pain in the ass.
Your resident pain in the ass from Staten Island. The Shaolin.
Shaolin shadowboxing.
What is a mook?
The mook of all, the mook of ages.
But the cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
That's right, Chop. We're live, buddy.
We're live.
Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media, RantEMRadio.com. Part
of the Shining Wizards Network.
That's right. Almost 7 years strong, baby. How's everybody doing, man? What's going on? I see Shaylin. John Dory is in the room. Johnny, it's my boy John.
Your brother's in the house, too.
Oh, Mike. Ooh, is that Anime Mike?
Anime Mike is in the house.
Uptown Georgie.
What is that?
It's Cousin Rich is in there.
Richie!
My man Greg. Hey, Richie! Everybody see Richie? My man Greg's in there.
Yo, where's Dominic at?
Neil's in there.
Where's Dominic from Richwood?
Where's Dominic over here?
Where's Dominic over
the
here?
The hardest working mook. The mook of all mooks. The greatest intercontinental champion of all my ass.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, so
okay, he deserves it.
Well, I mean, everybody, like I said last week, everybody's gonna get the rub. Everybody,
not the
rub and tug. You fucking jerk off.
I had to start it off.
You're a jerk off. That's what I think of you.
No. I saw a thread, right, and people were like, "Oh, this guy's the best." And then Lopez was in the thread saying, "If he drew money, and if you don't know that, you don't know wrestling." And I was like, "Did he draw money?" He was a good hand. I mean, he was a good heel.
Again, he drew money.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
like
Steamboat, Savage. Him and Savage had good matches in the Garden.
I'm not mistaken, back in the 80s, he did draw at a house shows. The main event was always the Intercontinental Champion in one house show. And then the other house show would be Hogan. And
yeah, I mean, but that was always the setup, though, dude.
There you go. But he drew
money. But that wasn't just him as the Intercontinental. I remember Santana headlining the Meadowlands.
Of course.
And Hogan headlining the Garden.
But he drew money, though. He drew money.
I guess they all did at that time.
Listen, I'm not the greatest fan.
I don't like him at all.
I'm not a fan of the Honky Tonk Man, but he does deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Of course he does.
And on top of that, he was a staple of the 80s.
Yeah.
He pretty much passed the torch over to the Ultimate Warrior.
I was there for that.
You were telling me that. It was a hot
SummerSlam 88.
It was a hot moment at that time.
I was there for that.
You know, despite the fact that he doesn't do podcasts, wink, wink.
Yeah, that was... I'm bitter. I'm sorry. I messaged him a bunch of years ago. I'm like, why don't you come on the show, you know, talk about your career and stuff like that. Because he had a career in Memphis. He's Lawler's cousin.
Yeah, he was...
Well, people don't realize that, though. People don't know that he was a wrestler before.
Jerry doesn't like to admit it, though.
Yeah, you know... Jerry Lawler has done a lot for pro wrestling. A lot.
I don't know what it is. You know, I like Jerry Lawler.
I didn't say he was a great wrestler. I mean, he was good.
As a talker, he's a good talker. But like
his Memphis stuff was great.
I didn't get it.
His Memphis stuff was good. You got to watch some of the Memphis stuff with him and Austin Idol and Bill Dundee and you got to watch some of that stuff. Him and Savage.
I think
him and Apophos.
I think him and the Austin Idol Tommy Rich versus Jerry Lawler feud was pretty good.
Matt Squires in the room.
Matty!
What's up, Matt Squires? Well,
let me fix this for a second.
Yeah, go ahead, Chop. You can fix the camera. I moved the camera before we started because I was playing DJ Mook. And
that looks pretty good, right? No.
Oh. I want to see. Yeah, but they want to see just you and me, not a, you know, they want to see you too, man.
There you go.
Right, so. I was playing DJ Mook before, and I moved the camera because I'm sick and tired of looking at Choppy's refrigerator, and his wife bought us this really cool-ass poster for the, you know.
That's it.
That's it. Howdy doody. That's it. And I asked Bree where she got the,
The poster?
The poster. You know what she told me?
I got it from a Negro.
I was like, that's really cool, though. I appreciate that. So.
Okay, terrific.
Anyway, so, yeah, Honky Tonk Man's in the Hall of Fame. God bless him. It's him. It's DX.
Is JYD in?
JYD's been in.
When did he go in?
Years ago.
I forget.
Yeah.
But 2004. His daughter inducted
Is
him.
That when John Cena came out in the fucking the hitman car? Like the fucking gangster car?
That was 2006.
Right.
When he went up against Conan the Barbarian Triple H.
The game.
The game.
I got a big stage set up. I got a slut for a wife. So anyway. That's what I've been doing for the last couple hours. So I've been playing this music for the last 2-3 weeks before the podcast because Choppy's been doing, you know, taking care of, he's being dad and taking care of Logan, and I'm here early, so.
I'm sorry. Shake, Rattle, and Mook.
Shake, Rattle, and Mook.
I'm sorry. That's good, Matt.
Yeah. No, I'm all about the Memphis Mafia, Georgie. I know. I'm just trying to put Choppy onto it, trying to hip Choppy to it.
Fuck him.
Did you find my Mid-South DVD? No.
Yes.
You no. did? Yes. No. No. All right, Zodiac.
I think I might have to owe you one.
Speaking of DVDs.
Oh, yes. Yes,
so Choppy and I went to Walmart last Saturday, and I bought the unreleased Macho Man Savage.
What gems are in there, by the way?
Bro.
Some good gems?
Yo, there's a match with him and Ventura teaming up on TV.
What? No!
Yes.
Get out!
Yes!
How was that?
Fucking amazing!
Him and Ventura?
Yes!
I thought Ventura retired!
No! He was still floating around. Dude, there's so... That first DVD is all 85, his debut.
Oh, his debut was fantastic.
Everything. And then his matches with no commentary. Him and Yoko.
Yeah, I remember that.
Him and, he teams up with... Who the fuck he teams up with? Mr. Perfect. Against Yoko,
I remember that one.
Yeah, dude, it's just so many things. I'm. It's so good. It's really. Listen,
there's a lot of any WCW stuff.
Yeah, like, I didn't get to that yet, though. Wow. Yeah, it was $13.
And if you get the DVD at Walmart, they give you like a little pop figure,
a Funko keychain.
Yep.
Yeah. So I was. I went
home. No documentary though, right? It's so.
It's hosted by, what the hell, Sean Mooney.
Sean Mooney's.
It's
no
hosted
way.
By Sean Mooney, Corey Graves, and Bailey.
That's dope, dude. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
You know, you would definitely love this. Well, don't buy it now. I'll make you a copy of it, save you $13. Telling you, man. So I don't buy DVDs anymore.
Me neither, because we have
but
a network.
But we saw it, and I was like, oh. You know, even if, the, like, here's the deal. Like, if I didn't like it either, I'd give it to you, I'd give it to my nephew, or I'd give it to Mikey, because they still buy DVDs. I don't buy DVDs anymore, but I don't have to. But fucking great. Dude, I'm telling you, it's so good. You would love it. You lose. And any Macho Man, Mark, Choppy, besides Choppy, would lose their mind. Yeah, he fights Pedro Morales for the IC title. Yeah,
so stop.
Good. Yeah, man.
I have to see
I'm
this.
I'm telling you, man. It's so when him and Ventura came out, I was like, what the fuck?
Him and, was it commentary for that one?
Yeah.
Who was commentators on that one?
Vince and Vince and Bruno. It was the 6 o'clock wrestling.
Vince and Bruno?
Yeah. No. It, back in the day, you had superstars.
Oh, were they the A team, the announced team?
No. Well, they were the night team. When I was a kid, it was 10 o'clock. And six o'clock at night on Saturday, and 10 o'clock again on Sunday. You had Superstars, and then you had was Wrestling Challenge, Superstars, and I forget the name of the other one. But that was they were the nighttime guys, Vince and Bruno, and then your day guys were Monsoon and Bobby Heenan.
The nighttime chat with Vince McMahon and Bruno Sammartino.
Yeah, but I gotta get the new Cops Blu-ray. Sonny's in it.
Oh man, again. What
God. I
love Tammy, come on.
How many times did we announce on this show alone in the last 7 years that she's been arrested?
She dipped on, I think, a court date or something.
Yeah,
like that?
She skipped on a court date.
Damn,
and then when you do
Tammy?
That, especially in, you, listen, as much as I fucking pick on Jersey a lot,
Jersey don't play around
they
with
don't fuck
shit.
Around with
no
and,
way, dude.
Yo, I got a fucking ticket in Jersey. I was coming home from a WrestlePro show.
Uh-huh.
Or PWS, whatever the fuck it was, and I was making a turn onto the 440 going back home because I was in Raw, where I was like 15 minutes away. Dude, I guess that the light changed as I was turning, and it took a picture, right? So I get a ticket. Now, the car is not in my name. It was under her name at the time. So they sent her a letter saying that if you don't pay this ticket, they're going to get, you know, my license is getting revoked. I'm like, what?
What?
I was like, holy shit. I never had a ticket. I never got a speeding ticket in my life. I never had a point on my license ever. And I was like, holy shit, man. That's terrible.
They don't play around.
State troopers do not fuck around. People have a thing about New York and how New York state troopers are like infamous for being dick faced.
They are assholes, though.
Yo, they are nothing compared to Jersey. Those guys do not. The further south you go, the more scumbaggish they become. Mm. Is that even a word, scumbaggish?
It's a word now.
It's a word now. I just made it up.
There you go.
Yeah, you piece of slime, Bruno. You piece of you called my man. You piece of slime. Slime.
Jeez, Tammy is just hit rock bottom. Well, she already hit rock bottom a long time ago, man.
I watched the porn the other day, though.
Which one was this? Again. The one with the dude?
Yeah, the two.
That was the guest on Wrestling Soup?
Yeah.
What do you call it? I was watching I saw the news when it broke about Tammy, and then the first thing that said, we have this piece of shit in the Hall of Fame, and we can't get China in. I'm like, oh my fucking God.
Guys, enough with China. Enough with fucking China. She'll get in. Everybody's getting in. Pick something else complain about.
But the thing is, like, they're like, yeah, we have Tammy's in, but we can't have this person, that person. She's pretty much saying that she's an embarrassment to the Hall of Fame.
She's not.
They need to stop. We're not basing. You got to keep in mind the Hall of Fame is not basing on her life, her current events.
There's no criteria. It's not like baseball where you have to get voted in by fucking
she
writers.
She was the prototype of a diva, and then she started the diva thing. She started the whole diva thing in 96.
I agree. I'm 100% agreeing with you. I feel like.
But people need to stop.
There's no fucking criteria. It's not like baseball where you get voted in by sports
Correct.
Writers. You know? Where that's a fucking travesty. I mean, I can go on and.
Pete Rose should be in.
There's so many guys. I can give you five guys. I'm not going to get into it, but besides Pete Rose, that should be in the fucking.
Pete Rose
should
have been in.
Him,
years
Gil
ago.
Hodges. There's a bunch of guys that should be in. They're not in. But that's just me being fucking mean. But guys from my generation feel the same way. But then there are guys that are in that don't really. That are great guys. That
Example.
Don't, but don't have the fuck. Harold Baines.
Okay.
I love the Harold Baines.
Strawberry's in there, right?
No.
What?
But
Daryl Strawberry's not in?
Daryl Strawberry didn't do enough.
Stop.
He won championships, but he didn't do his. No, seriously. He broke all the Met records. He doesn't have enough. Neither is Doc Gooden.
Dude.
I'm a Met fan telling you that.
He was a pop figure icon at one.
I'm doing so was a lot of guys though.
But like he, if you listen to me, if you make it onto mainstream television and your sports and. I didn't watch baseball in the 90s, but I knew who the fuck Darryl Strawberry was.
Everybody did, though.
Everyone. And he's not in the fucking Hall of Fame. That's
if
insane.
Insane. But if you base it on the criteria that they have, he doesn't qualify.
That's terrible.
But then there were guys who do qualify and didn't get in. You know?
Is Jambi in?
What? No.
I'm just asking.
No.
Bonds is not in.
No. Bonds should be in. And you know what? All those fucking guys that did... Listen... Enough with the steroids already. Now this is we're going off the rails.
I know.
But him, McGuire, Palmeiro, they all didn't hit home runs all their home runs on steroids. Especially Barry Bonds
and McGuire.
Barry
too.
Bonds was probably next to Ken Griffey the greatest hitter in my generation. Next to Ken Griffey,
really
home run hitter. Tony Gwynn was the best hitter in baseball when I was growing up. Tony Gwynn was the best hitter. The best home run hitters were fucking Barry Bonds, Mark McGuire, Ken Griffey Jr. Ken Griffey Jr. was a 5-tool player. If he didn't get fucking hurt, he would have been in the Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Fame.
When did he retire?
Oh, about 10 years ago.
Jesus Christ.
Big Tone's in there.
Big Tone's in?
JT's in there. Hello, JT. What up, boys? Yeah, those guys should be... Yeah, it's coming soon. It's got to come soon. But getting back to wrestling.
Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I'm just making a comparison.
Yeah.
You know, if they had a criteria where we'd be like, okay, here's the criteria. Were they performing here? Did they win this? They win that? Obviously not going by wins and losses because it's predetermined. Correct. But China's getting in. China's getting in on her own. When they stop distributing films about her taking dick, which would be soon because she's dead, when the porn thing dies down for her a little bit, and her family comes out of fucking hiding from being embarrassed, then they'll give her the rub. You know? Yeah, 40-40, man. Bonds, that's right. Ken Griffey was the best hitter I've ever seen.
Bo
Jackson?
Yeah,
he didn't play long. He didn't play long enough.
Fuck.
He would have been, though.
Dude, he was amazing.
He wasn't, but he didn't play long enough. He didn't play... He went to football and broke his hip.
Again, I know. But right. Again... A guy who was a two-sport athlete.
Right, but he didn't play enough, dude. He didn't play enough
God
games.
Damn, they're tough.
If he would have played baseball, just baseball, not football, he would have been Hall of Famer.
Dude, like the MLB is impossible for this Hall of Fame.
It's a criteria. Damn. And you're only on the ballot for X amount of years. And if you don't get voted in, you're done.
What?
I'll show you.
God damn.
Dude, it's a rough deal, man.
That sucks.
But pro wrestling doesn't have that criteria. They don't have any of that stuff.
Which is why Coco Beware is in. But Coco Beware didn't really do much, but he's a memorable character.
Like, guys are going to get in. Like, Steve Lombardi should get in. Like,
I forget who mentioned that. Matt Squires mentioned, I think, Brooklyn Brawler.
Brooklyn Brawler, you know? Bo was the greatest video game athlete. Yeah, Tecmo Bowl. That's right, Neil.
I've never played that. You know that?
Oh, my God.
On Nintendo, I never played it.
Stop it. Don't.
Never played it.
Oh, my God.
And that's amazing.
One of the greatest games ever.
If you pick Bo, it's over. I wish
my cousin Gary was on right now. Kingfish, Gary Fisher. Me and Kingfish played Tecmo Bowl for one during one winter break, Christmas. We played that game every fucking day for a week.
The first football game I ever played on a system was for Sega Genesis. It was...
John Madden Football?
Nope. NFL Quarterback Club.
NFL Quarterback Club. That was the game.
Fantastic.
Xbox. The original Xbox put one out, too, like that.
Did they?
Yeah. Peyton Manning was on the front. Similar to that, I should say.
Best baseball game I ever played was the one on Nintendo.
Oh, RBI Baseball?
Yes.
Oh, no. I like there's a bunch of them, though.
There was a really good one where it was just, like, stereotypical, like, you know... oh, shit. Hold on.
What's the matter?
That's from work.
Oh. Yeah. Anyway, but no.
Sorry. Hold on.
Go ahead, man. But yeah, there's a bunch of games that were out there, baseball games that were great for Nintendo. There was Bases Loaded. There was for N64. There was Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball. When I got N64, that was the first game I got was Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball. Tony Z's in the room from the Wizards.
Fuck him.
Super Tecmo Bowl was in the Xbox store. Is it? Ooh, I'm getting that tonight. I'm getting that tonight when I get home. I have Xbox. I gotta get a headset for that gimmick.
Fuck that.
I love it.
Hey, it's a bunch of 12-year-olds that play better than you.
No, because JT and Lou would tell me that they play some shit online. I was like, I should get with them. And I'm like, yeah, I don't use Mac. I should use my Xbox more. I'm fucking home a lot, you know. Yeah, ding ding. Super Tecmo Bowl. I'm buying that shit tonight, Nucka. Anyway, So yeah, man, everybody's gonna get in. Let's all.
Can we drop that topic? I mean, like,
everybody just shut the fuck up about it already. You know.
Sorry.
No, dude. Choppy's working like an animal lately. So
yeah, I did so far. If you include today, I've done 62 hours.
But you having fun though building that Wu-Tang set. I'm excited, dude. I can't wait. I'm bringing it to all my friends that you're on the set.
You
want to
know something? It's a pleasure and it's an honor working for this show. But it's also to a point where we're getting ready to shoot a scene, and the art director's like, I don't like the way this shit looks. I'm like, bro, you had fucking a day prior to letting us know what you liked and didn't like, and now you don't fucking like it right where we're about to shoot? We're at Dee Dee's Chinese restaurant on Port Richmond Ave.
Chinexican.
Yeah, that place is fantastic.
That was Choppy and I's me move. When I was at Decadome, remember when we went to Decadome?
Bro, Chinese people cooking Mexican food is fantastic.
So anyway, so people who don't know who locally, I guess Uptown Georgie and Shaylin know this, but yeah. Anybody who's not local, we have a bunch of Chinese places that make Chinese food and Mexican food.
Fantastic.
They make their own tortilla.
The burritos are fantastic.
So we call it Chinexican. And there was a spot by my old place at the Decadome called Dee Dee's. So Choppy was there today. Fucking getting his I wish Dee Dee delivered to where I live now, man.
Dude,
they need some good hood food out here, man. When I grew up in the hood, I want to go to a good Chino's and get some fucking fried chicken and fry. Go to a Cucci Frito.
Go to Port Richmond Avenue, bro.
But then it's not the same, dude. I lived around the corner from Port Richmond Avenue for 5 years. It's not. I mean, Dee Dee's is dope, but it's not the same hood. It's not to have the same hood feel anymore.
Well,
man.
You gotta keep in mind, there's a different hood.
Yeah,
like Port Richmond Avenue and
yes, Big Tone.
Yeah,
Wu-Tang.
Yeah, I'm working on Wu-Tang.
You're going to Wu-Tang on the show.
So, yeah, look, I think it's coming out. I think we'll be done shooting by July or August. July.
You'll be done in August, right, you said?
I think August, like the first week of August is going to be done, and then by January it should be up on Hulu.
Nice.
Keep a lookout for it. Also, so we're there, we're at Dee Dee's, and then like 2 minutes right before we're about to shoot, the guy's like, oh, I don't like the way the menu looks. You know the menu that's on the...
Yeah.
He's like, I don't like the way it looks. It's all wrinkled. I was like, you want to know something? The reason it's wrinkled is because you didn't buy plexiglass for this motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. Now
so that's your fucking fault.
So now this is your biggest obstacle is the artist that's putting the scene together.
The art director.
And you constructed, they put it together.
They design it, and then I put the shit together with a crew of guys.
Maverick's in the room. What up, Maverick?
Hey, Maverick, what's up? So yeah, it's been a uphill battle just trying to get the right measurement. And by the way, this motherfucker doesn't know how to measure. Like, we'll go to put up a sign, and it's like an inch off. You know, an inch is a big fucking deal, bro. You're trying to put a sign inside of a frame that's like an inch too big. It's impossible. This guy's an asshole.
I got to tell you, hearing you talk about your craft is pretty cool. Mainly because now that I watch some of these shows and I know that you're involved in them,
yeah.
I feel like, man. Like, now that I know, every time I watch a scene now, when I was watching the Marvel shit that you did, I was like, man, there's so much that goes into this, because you give me all the juicy gossip.
Bro, 12 hours of work?
Yeah.
It's only like 10 seconds on TV.
Right.
It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we
really?
I just read that. Actually, Choppy, you were upstairs.
I didn't know that.
Dana Warrior is now a consultant.
God bless her.
On the writing team. God bless her? Really?
Yeah, why not?
Well, they hired Bruce Prichard, too. How do you feel about that? They brought him back.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, me too.
It's all good.
Me too. I'm okay
with it. I
mean,
I think that's the reason why we're always a little different.
So, you know what? I think Vince is setting up for Fox.
I think so, too.
I feel like he's got to do like his due diligence and fucking be, oh, my God, I got this $5 billion deal. Let me bring some old heads in here.
Correct.
And let's get this shit going. Because... Why after all this time, you bringing Bruce Prichard back into the fold? No disrespect to Bruce Prichard. I'm just saying, like, it's not the WWE's way anymore.
You want to know why? Because he notices that a lot of these fucking soap opera writers and these TV writers aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing.
You're right.
You have to bring in a wrestling guy that knows what people want to see.
Yeah, 100%.
And proof in point is Batista, at the end of the show, dragging Flair's old ass on the fucking floor. It looked legit. It looked awesome. That's what we need. Vince, if you're listening, I doubt you're listening to this.
He's not listening. He doesn't.
If you listen to this at all, please.
But there are people listening.
Use Dutch Mantel. Use Bruce Prichard. Use fucking Paul Heyman at your disposal.
Yeah, you got all those guys at your disposal.
These guys are geniuses.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That was a good SmackDown, by the way. Also,
I watched SmackDown today while you were upstairs.
Kevin Owens as a surprise. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool. You know,
but now we can tell that Kofi's going to get the belt at WrestleMania.
Why not?
Isn't it great?
Give him his fucking run.
At WrestleMania, he gets the belt, and that's going
to
happen.
But I told all of you guys that.
It's going
to
happen.
I told you guys it was going to happen. I told Carlos, as soon as he lost, when we were sitting here, the first thing I said to Carlos, he'll win it at Mania.
He's going
to
get it at Mania. It would be a fucking travesty if he gave him the if he lost at Fastlane and get it back, you know?
I got no problem with that.
The fact that Vince walks out on SmackDown, he's like, I found somebody who's more deserving than you.
Yeah,
and it's just like,
and what's cool now is now that he'll be the champ, insta feud with Kevin Owens, maybe a breakup to the fucking New Day. There's a lot of things you can do with that. Let's keep it locked. Let's hopefully they do the right thing and fucking.
I think like you said and like I said, I think Kofi's gonna get the belt at Mania.
Yeah,
I'm happy.
It's a win-win. It's a win-win. A lot of cool things are happening. Like, the end of Raw was great. I caught the end of Raw when I came home from work.
It was crazy.
Holy shit.
He's like, Triple H, do I have your attention now? I was like, whoa, what an asshole, dude.
Let me tell you something. Everybody's like, oh, and then people instantaneously crying on the internet. Oh, Triple H just wants his WrestleMania moment. Let me tell you something.
Oh, my God.
This happened. Let me just tell people something. This happens in life, okay? If when I played Little League... Well, not Little League, but football. When I played hockey, I played the only sport I played that was organized like officially without like playing picks, you know, mm-hmm. in the street was hockey. And if the coach had a son, the coach's son played, no matter how bad, no matter how good he was. It's the same fucking thing. If your son-in-law is running the fucking show and he could still go as a performer, he's gonna put himself in the act. Van Halen did it with the fucking... Eddie did it with his son, played fucking bass. Like, it happens everywhere in entertainment. Get over your fucking selves. If Triple H couldn't work, if he was terrible, then I'd be like, all right, shenanigans. Stop. Keep the kid home. But Triple H could still fucking go, man. Batista could still go. It's a throwaway match. The thing's still going to be 5 fucking hours anyway. Let it go, man.
I just have one issue with it. I think remember they had a little schmoz on SmackDown, him, when they had the Evolution reunion?
Yeah.
And he was like, yo, Triple H, you still haven't beaten me, though.
Right, there was shit talking.
Right there.
That's what you're going to get.
And then it kind of was forgotten for like months. And then all of a sudden, boom, there's Batista. And you're like, what the fuck is Batista?
Right, that's what I like.
It was good. It was a shocker. And for every fan out there that's complaining, like, oh, Batista. Keep in mind, Batista is one of the hottest actors out there right now. Think about it. He's part of the Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy. He's made himself into a bona fide million-dollar actor.
He was a bad guy in one of the James Bond movies.
He was a bad guy. He was also in the RZA film. Yes. The man with the Iron Fist.
Iron Fists, yeah.
So... for anybody that wants to discredit him as a performer, as an entertainer, he's not. He's a great performer.
I didn't have a problem with Batista at all.
I like Batista.
I liked him.
His feud with Edge was fantastic, bro.
His stuff with Eddie was good.
His stuff was Eddie,
Triple
Edge,
H, Ric Flair.
Good guy.
JBL.
Good guy.
Yeah, no, I don't have a problem with Batista. And he was one of the guys. See, I have a thing for guys that started old.
But his heel run with John Cena.
Right. But
that was money.
Look at the guys that started late in their career, in their life, and got over.
Like
DDP, Goldberg, Batista. Like, those guys are all solid performers.
I think Batista's not just solid. I think he's very, very good at what he did.
I don't have an issue with him at all.
There's so many good feuds that he had. His stuff with The Undertaker at WrestleMania 23... was insane. I did not think it was going to be a good match.
I want to watch that match again.
Blown away by that match.
I want to watch that.
It was really good.
Speaking of WrestleMania, so now we're into March. We're probably going to do WrestleMania 99 the week before Mania.
WrestleMania 99. Oh, you mean 15, talking about.
15, yeah. And then on WrestleMania, we may not be here. We may be here. We'll find out.
We'll find out.
But either way, we're going to be doing the 30th anniversary of WrestleMania.
Correct.
5.
Pre-recorded.
Or if we're not going to be here live,
yes,
we can do that. And I'm going to be at WrestleCon. For everybody who's listening, we got some friends coming over from the UK. I'm going to be at WrestleCon that Thursday, representing our boy Mark Hitchcock, representing Nick German because he can't be there. So we're taking one for the team. I'm going to be there for Mark, and it's going to be a cool event. Bandido has just got announced versus fucking Ospreay.
That's going to be sick.
I wonder if any of those. I wonder if they're going to put the openweight title up. I don't know.
I think it's not title.
But that's going to be cool. I'm excited for that. I'm going to be doing, I think, Kaiju Big Battle. I'm going to be doing...
Let me know how that is.
Oh, yeah.
Please let me know.
Yeah.
I was kind of interested about that.
Yeah, then I'll go see Shazam Friday morning, and then I'm going to NXT. You're going to fucking Queens.
I'm going to Queens.
For FTW. And then Saturday is G1, baby. And then Sunday is Mania. So if I don't want to see what's going on yet.
But yeah, we don't know yet. We can't announce anything yet.
Yeah, there's a good chance that we may not be here physically. But if we are, we're going to be live the day of WrestleMania doing the
You know what, Mario? The Kickboxer remake was actually pretty fucking good.
I never saw it.
It's really good.
He's in that, right?
Yeah, he's Tong Po.
Is he really?
Yeah, Tong Po.
Is Van Damme in that movie?
He's Van Damme's the trainer for the guy.
Oh.
So it's on Netflix.
Oh, well, I have it.
It's really good. I was
I'm going to play Super Tech Mobile when I get home.
Oh, you're a jerk.
Thank you, Matt Squires.
Yeah, man, I'm up for another Triple H Batista match.
I don't care, man.
I like it. I like it. It's fine.
I like it.
The only thing you could probably complain about is age, but who cares? They still can go.
I don't give a shit. Yeah. It's gonna be fucking 5 hours long anyway.
Five hours? I think it's gonna be like eight.
It doesn't. It's like the Super Bowl. Super Bowl lasts forever.
It's insane.
I don't care. I don't have a problem with it as long as. It's going to be a good match. If you give me a shitty match, then I'll be like, all right, shenanigans. But it's going to be a good match.
It's going to be good.
I'm excited.
George,
you coming to WrestleCon? You better call me. We better be hooking up.
Yeah, motherfucker. I want to finally meet you.
You're not going to WrestleCon, you said. You can go with me if you want. You should go.
When is WrestleCon again?
It's the 4th. It's that Thursday.
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm working. I can't. I'm sorry. Uptown.
Ooh, Allie's in the room. Say hello to Allie.
Hello?
Yeah, say hello.
Do I know her?
No, you don't. I do.
Hello, gorgeous.
Hello, Allie.
So anyway, so I'll be at WrestleCon. I really want you to go, man. I think it's. But it's
I will try my damnedest.
Yeah,
this
you really should be there. It's gonna be a good day. But Georgie, if Georgie could take the friggin' train.
Here's this. If Georgie goes, and don't disrespect him, if Georgie goes, I'll be there.
Oh, well, that's because he's been showing his face. All right, yeah, do that, man. We'll swap phone numbers and whatever.
Let me know, brother.
Because that's going to be the deal. Like, if you do it, then whatever. But that whole weekend, there's stuff going on all weekend. I know Nick posted a bunch of stuff, the itinerary. I talked to Muzzy from the UK. Muzzy's coming in.
Really?
Yeah, Muzzy.
Is Bazza coming over?
I think Bazza said he was coming. I didn't speak to Bazza, though. But okay. Muzzy said he was coming. Muzzy gave me his whole itinerary.
Okay.
So I'll see him at WrestleCon.
That's dope.
I'll see him at NXT. Muzzy gave me his whole itinerary, so. Cuzbro Anthony messaged us with the shirt designs. That's going to be insane. The shirts are going to be so dope.
Can't wait.
Takeover Club shirts are going to be insane. It's going to be so dope. I'm very excited about that. There's so much going on. So the month of March is going to be a bunch of WrestleMania stuff we're going to be doing. So keep it locked, man. Just keep it locked to Rantium Radio and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com. And it's going to be the shit.
Actually. WrestleMania week is gonna be dope, dude.
Yeah, I like when WrestleMania comes here. I heard it might be in Tampa next year. That's a road trip too. I have family over there, so I'm just gonna go.
I would only go to Florida just for an NXT show. At the
I'm gonna tell you something though. That stadium where the Bucks play,
mm-hmm.
That's a nice stadium.
Ugh, cares.
But the weekend though, you go NXT in Florida.
I would love to go
Full Sail.
I would love to go.
That would be the whole trip.
I would love to go to just. I want to go to a. Because I know the Full Sail show is literally a 4-hour show because they've taped all the...
Right, but...
I want to go.
But it's going to be a takeover show, bro.
Yeah, I know. That sucks, though. No,
definitely. We should definitely look into that. If it's in Tampa, all the Rant guys will be down there. Tony C will be there. Double A will be there.
Forget WrestleMania. I would just purposely go to Florida just for a Full Sail event.
Oh, yeah?
I would spend the money. Phil, you need to send me one of the takeover shirts for the West Coast. Oh, yeah.
All right, Big Tone. Message me your size, and Cuzbro Anthony will try to facilitate that for you.
Shaylin, are you going to WrestleMania? Because if you're excited, you got to go. I mean, I don't know if it's your first WrestleMania or not, but you should go.
If you're a fan and you've never been to WrestleMania, and you're 18 minutes away, I know where Shaylin lives. If she's 18 minutes, you're not even a half hour away.
You got to go.
You should experience it once.
I had a ton of
fun. I've been to three, so...
I went with Carlos at WrestleMania 29.
I was at 29. It was cold.
And you told me 20 was amazing.
20 was dope. That was the garden, bro.
I was jealous when I couldn't get... I was so upset I couldn't get tickets.
Rest in peace, Tom. Me and Tank, we had such a good time that night, man.
I'm jealous.
Cena in the Big Show.
Oh.
Cena came out with the Patrick Ewing Knicks
jersey. Oh, my God.
Insanity.
That match was really good, though.
No, it was dope, man.
The United States title match was good.
It was dope. It was pretty dope.
Then the triple threat for the world title. Oh, my God. You guys must have lost your minds with that match.
We sat right by the ramp, the entrance ramp.
Oh,
we had really good
seats. That was a really good entrance.
That was a really good setup. Oh, my God. Yeah. But, yeah, we got some West Coast heads that want them Takeover Club shirts. So, Cusbro Anthony
Maddie.
Is yeah, Maddie wants one, too. We got to, you know, him and Big Tone could be the West Coast.
The West Coast division?
Contingency. Yeah. We're worldwide now, baby.
Takeover West Coast.
West Coast, East Coast, international. This shit is crazy, man. Shit is crazy. So, yeah, we're going to be doing a lot of cool stuff. Keep it locked. And I'm more excited that you're going to be doing that shit with Anime Mike, man. That's going to be cool. You know?
It's going to be dope.
Staying home, drinking, and watching wrestling. Yeah, well. But, yeah. Yeah. Mario got his care package, by the way.
Did you know? Did he actually send it to you, my brother?
He sent pictures and tagged me with them.
Wow.
Yep.
Mario, are we friends on Facebook? I forget, dude. I have so many friends on Facebook.
Yeah, so Mario.
I finally reached 1,000 friends. I'm just like, holy shit, I got 1,000 friends.
Yeah, you know what? It's been a little overwhelming, man. You get a lot of people reaching out now to the Facebook Live.
Oh, yeah, the Face? Forget
the it. The Face de Libre.
Yeah, the Face is great.
My Italian's terrible.
No, you're good.
No, I'm not.
No, you're good. Trust me. Your Italian's good. You want
no,
to know
it's
why?
Not.
Because you're a good guy.
So, what else is going on? I didn't watch NXT this week.
I did not watch NXT. I know that the Women's Tag Team Champions were on NXT.
Oh, really?
They were on. I didn't see it, but I know they were on there.
Mm-hmm.
I did manage to see a clip of Will Ospreay from New Japan. He successfully defended the title against Dalton Castle.
I watched that whole thing. That was fun.
And
we talked about that last week.
Yeah, but then I saw the post-match interview.
Yeah.
He challenged Jay White
for the title.
He says, I beat Jay White when he was still in his early days in Ring of Honor.
He most certainly did.
And he faced that Will Ospreay, but he's never faced this Will Ospreay that is now. He said he's gonna fuck his ass up.
If anybody thought that New Japan lost some steam after losing the Bucks and Cody,
nope.
No. Marty Scurll was good, man. He fought that young boy. He's gonna get a title shot eventually. Okada and Tanahashi like a team now.
I'm telling you right now, it's only a matter of time before Marty holds the Ring of Honor world title.
Good for him.
And it's only a matter of time before
he's fighting his boy too for the NWA title. Nick
Aldis.
Yeah.
And then it's only a matter of time before PCO and Brody King hold the Ring of Honor World Tag.
Brody King is my dude.
He's
man.
A big motherfucker.
He's a horse. He's a horse. Yeah.
He's a horse, dude.
Brody King can go.
He's a big man. He reminds me of fucking Luke Harper a little bit, just a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to win the contest from Nick and Noel Foley Grand Prize at our lunch with the two of them. Tickets for NXT.
That rain thing that Mick Foley does every year. That rape fund. It's some organization that's for rape victims or something like that. Yeah,
Mick Foley's a gem.
He raises money for all that shit.
He's
man.
A gem. And you want to know something? He never wants cameras around him when he's doing this shit. He just wants to do it on the low because he doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
He's such a fucking what a gem.
God bless him.
He's a great guy.
God bless him. God bless him. What else? What else is going on? I watched a throwback on Sunday. And I watch a bunch of Ric Flair things because he turned 70. I watched the 30 for 30 again with Ric Flair.
Oh, man, I still haven't seen that.
You got to see it, man. It's so
good. Listen, if I could just get a fucking copy of the Andre the Giant documentary from HBO, that's all I fucking want. I want to buy the DVD.
I have that somewhere.
I want that, dude.
I'll get it. I think it's on this laptop.
If you have it, dude, please burn me a copy.
I'll burn
you
a copy of that. Yeah, of course. But, you know, I can't get discouraged reading the internet no more. I really can't. I just every time something gets put out, like, it's just venom. Like, nothing is remotely, no one wants to see the glass half full when it comes to pro wrestling. And
correct.
As an older fan, I feel like I need to, not that I need to defend the products or anything, because a lot of the product sucks, we know that. But there's so many good things that are going on in between all the shit. The Kofi thing is great. Daniel Bryan is great. Kevin Owens coming back is great. The New Day is great. You know, the women's division has, even though they're force feeding it, is getting better. You know, there's a lot of good things that are going on with the WWE. So, I think they need to, like, just, you know, try to take that some of that in. Try to embrace some of it. You know, don't, you know, just leave. I don't know. Like I don't want to go on a tangent because I see this every day on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and I ignore it now. I know how to pick my battles. First of all, I couldn't stand by and listen to shit, but now I have a better perspective about things, so I try to be positive about it, whether I like the stuff or not, only because of what we do now. Mm-hmm. You know, and people value our opinion. People ask for it now, you know, and we don't always agree, which is good too. It gives a better dynamic to the show. But in the same breath, it's not a giver. It's not a do or die if we don't agree on everything. Some of the guys that we have on the page too are like, just breathe, fucking breathe for a minute, man.
Yeah.
Breathe for a minute. Take this in. This is. I'm telling you, and every year I say, oh, it's going to get better, it's going to get better, and it gets better progressively. Stuff is getting better progressively.
I think, like, I know I say this every year, but I think, like, this year, once the move to Fox happens, plus with the introduction of AEW, wrestling is going to get better.
Yeah, Ring of Honor is probably going to get more exposure now. New Japan is getting more exposure. Correct.
It's going to get better, guys. It's going to be a lot of wrestling. It's going to be hard to keep up with everything.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. It's going to be great, though. It's not going to be the same time. It's not going to be like the 80s or even the 90s, but it's going to be like, it's just going to be an overwhelming amount of stuff that you're going to see on TV that you won't be able to keep up with. You know how you have like 180 games for the NBA?
Yeah.
You don't watch every one of them.
82 games, yeah.
Yeah, you can't watch every one of them.
You listening, stupid Nick? Ring the bell.
Phil, do you think that Jay Lethal will either win the NWA title soon or go to WWE?
They're investing a lot in your boy right now.
Jay Lethal's the man.
They're investing a lot. I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon, Big Tone. I think they're going
to
just keep
him. They're going to try to lock his ass into Ring of Honor.
They should. Jay Lethal is what pro wrestling should be. Out of the ring, in the ring, he is a consummate professional. He's a nice dude.
Very nice.
Very nice in person. And he's a fucking horse, man.
He's a horse.
I love everything about Jay Lethal. I always love Jay Lethal. Always. In TNA, ROH, Japan, all of it. So I don't think he's going anywhere. I could be wrong, but, you know.
I think he's always had aspirations of going to WWE. I don't know if he is at this point because I think he's got a sweet deal right now with Ring of Honor. Two-time Ring of Honor world champion. I mean, there was at one point he held the Ring of Honor world title and the fucking television title at the same time.
Correct.
He was the unified champion at one point.
Shout out to Truth Martini.
Oh, my God. Can you please bring back Truth Martini?
I don't even think he does
it. I love him.
I love him, too.
God, he's so amazing.
Big Tone said we deserve some variety as wrestling fans. Yeah. Yeah, we do. We do, George. I mean, we deserve variety in any kind of entertainment that we have. It's like hip-hop. It's the same shit now. It's all cookie-cut, mumble rap, boogie fucking nonsense. It's what, you know what I'm saying? It's terrible. Yes, Shaylin, I heard that Howard Finkel had a severe stroke, apparently.
That's sad.
Howard Finkel was one of my heroes, man.
Probably the best ring announcer.
Every time I heard Howard Finkel as a kid,
goosebumps.
I always get goosebumps. I sat in his presence for at least 5 or 6 years straight.
I remember when it's not the best moment, but when he announced Randy Orton as the World Heavyweight Championship after he beat Benoit at SummerSlam,
youngest champion,
bro, I lost my shit, and then he was like, no! And I started getting goosebumps. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, my God. Right?
Yeah, see, the thing is, too, I didn't see a lot of title changes live in person when I was a kid. So when Warrior beat Honky Tonk for the title, and he said the end knew, and it was like you felt it. Like, he was the man, dude. He's the man. Not he was the man. He is the man, because he's still alive. God bless him.
Georgie, yeah, I think he'd be perfect for NXT as well.
Yeah, leave Jay Lethal where he is, man.
But if he decides to go to WWE, God bless him.
Everybody deserves a big run in the WWE. Anybody who's good, anybody who's great deserves that.
I mean, Adam Cole did it.
Yeah, everybody. CM Punk did it.
Mr. Ring of Honor himself, Roddy did it.
A lot of guys did it, man. God bless him. Yeah, Joe did it. Joe Nakamura did it. Balor.
Mind you, they took Joe even after they told him, like, hey, guy, dude, you're almost, like, close to 40. I don't know if we're going to be able to keep you, have you go to the main roster.
And they took Daniel Bryan.
They busted his ass, and now he's on the main roster.
They took Daniel Bryan.
Well, Daniel Bryan, they took him when he was, like, 29.
But still, they took him. I mean, so everybody who's great and all those guys you mentioned were great.
Spanky made it.
That's right.
Paul London made it.
Yep.
Paul London became one of the longest reigning tag team champions of all time. Plus, he became cruiserweight champion. They all made it. Who else? TJP of all people made it to the E.
Yeah, but I mean, those guys deserve it. So does Jay Lethal deserve it? Yeah. Do I want him there? No, I don't want him in Ring of Honor. Not right now.
Yeah,
but you know, he's doing good things over there. Ring of Honor is trying to reestablish themselves. But. We talked about NXT briefly. Can we stick on NXT with the Dusty Classic?
Sure, of course.
You said that Red Dragon's back in the Dusty.
So Red Dragon's back together.
When does it start? It started already?
They started filming it.
Okay.
So it's going to start up soon. I know that Red Dragon was reformed. Basically, if they were, keep in mind, Red Dragon is Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. They're like, yeah, correct. You know, people are like, oh, they've always been together. No, they haven't, because Roddy took the place of Bobby Fish.
Bobby Fish has been sick.
And now Bobby Fish is going back for the tag team titles. And in the first match, one of the first matches is going to be Undisputed Era going up against DIY, Tommaso Ciampa, and Johnny Gargano. I have a feeling that the match with the DIY thing is just Tommaso Ciampa playing mind games again. And I have a feeling that he's going to screw over Johnny Gargano. And then Gargano's going to go for the NXT Championship at TakeOver for WrestleMania weekend. It's going to happen, bro.
Okay.
I have a feeling it's going to happen. And then Johnny Gargano will be your first ever Triple Crown NXT Champion. Because he would have won all the belts if he wins the NXT title. He has to go up again. He has to get the belt.
That's fantastic, by the way. Thank you, Allie. Have a good night. Can't wait for the Dusty Classic.
Good idea.
Switchblade needs to go. Yeah, well, let Switchblade get his due.
No, Switchblade needs to stay in Japan.
I love
Switchblade.
That guy is amazing.
Man.
Good for him.
What an asshole he is. He's the perfect asshole for the book.
Like, I was telling Rob, too, and Rob, he gets better. Rob doesn't like him, but he gets better every show. He gets better every show.
Rob does not like him, but he's good.
Mustache Mountain.
That's not a bad choice either. I don't know who's going to win it, but that's a pretty good choice.
Yeah, man.
What about if they bring the NXT UK tag team champions over? Those guys are good.
Birch and who's Oni Lorcan, right?
That could be another team that wins. I'm talking about the new NXT.
There's a bunch of teams. Profits.
What about the Coffee Brothers?
The Coffee Brothers.
You like John Coffee.
I do.
Is it Joe Coffee? I'm sorry.
Joe Coffee.
John Coffee's the guy from Green Mile. Mike Clark Duncan. Sorry. I'm excited. Damn, what the hell?
Oh. We're getting messages from the Facha de Libre.
I'm excited and should be very, very good.
Rob said, fuck Jay White.
God, you're a dick, bro. You really hate Jay White.
Rob, why are you commenting on the thread that was the music thread?
Yeah, why don't you? Here's an idea. Why don't you get on the actual chat and talk to us?
He said, fuck it. In big letters, too. He said, fuck Jay White.
The only reason he says fuck Jay White is because Jay White blew him off for a picture.
No, he just doesn't like him.
No, he hates him.
Red Dragon.
Yeah, Red Dragon's a shit, dude. They were the shit in it. First off, Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, NXT Tag Team Champions, New Japan Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. Those guys are great, bro.
Yogi!
Shout out to him.
I'll be right back. I'll be right back.
All right, go ahead. Uh-oh. Oh, boy. The life of a dad. Anyway, Chobby's got to go tend to the kid. So I didn't watch any other wrestling besides what we talked about. So you got any questions for the show while he's upstairs doing his thing? Anybody? Bueller? Shout out to everybody who was listening to my fucking rant before. Well, not rant. I was playing some music for like two hours before. So apparently everybody liked me playing music. The problem is I can't play music on Facebook because they copyrighted and they cut me off. So I got to find a way around that. But I'll definitely play music before the podcast if I'm here early enough, you know. So definitely do that. Choppy's a racist. I don't know where that main chat is. I'm drunk. I love it. He's drunk. I was drinking last night. Let me tell you, I had a fucking terrible day at work yesterday, and they sell beer at the ferry. And I said, as soon as I get down to the ferry, man, I was telling my boy at work, I'm like, yo, man, I want a 40 ounce. They don't sell 40 ounces. Like, 40 ounces aren't accessible anymore anywhere. You just go into any store and buy a fucking 40, even if it was Budweiser, which I don't drink Budweiser, but I wanted to buy a 40 ounce, get myself something to eat, and get on a boat. No one has 40 ounces anymore, right? Take that kid to Uncle Closet's house. It's funny. Do you see Tessa Blanchard coming to WWE? Probably. Yeah, I see her coming. Her and who's that that chick? Jordan Grace. Oof. If I were ever to get married again or have a baby, I would have it with her. She's beautiful. She has those big fucking childbearing hips too. Anyway, but yeah, man, so I wanted a 40. I didn't get a 40, so I got a beer. And it came, it was like a beer and two hot dogs, like a papayas a spot over there. And they put the beer in a bag, and I took a picture of it on Instagram. And it was like so 1986, you know. Favorite 17 transition holds. So the Mets hat is so sexy, I'll end up in Ric Flair's. Transition holds. Oh, no. I don't transition hold, you maniac. You guys are too much, man. I love it. You guys are too much. What else is going on? Nothing, man. So I got this drinking. And when I got home last night, I had some ciders in the fridge. I was like, yeah. So I just grabbed a cider. I kept drinking last night. Drank till I passed out. Like, yeah, I'm a lightweight now. Like two or three of them when I'm sleeping, but... But yeah, I had a rough week, so I needed some. But yeah, man. So I really lost my flow because my partner ran upstairs, and I don't know what else to do. But if he doesn't get here in 10 minutes, I'm gonna take a break and play some plugs, maybe some music or something, and we'll come back and do a throwback because I don't know what I have no other topics to talk about. So if you guys have anything you want to ask me, please do it now. Until Choppy gets back, and then we'll call it a day. Let's see here. Armbar. Phil, the underdog tattoo. Oh, thank you, Shaylin. That's my underdog tattoo. Thank you. Mikey likes when I flex it because it looks like he's pointing. So, lightweight. Yeah, I just, again, man, I don't do it no more. Us old cats, we don't drink like we used to anymore, man. I'm a cheap date. Heel hook, armbar, fucking nuts. So, yeah, man. Let me see what's going on here. Top 47 one leg submission holds. I played that imaginary wrestling when I was younger in the back of the wrestling magazines. The IWA, it was called. And you had to pick your moves. You had a 15 move set, and you had the points and whatever. I want a title. I want a plaque. Harper's contract. Who? Luke Harper? I don't even know. Ring the bell. I don't know. Anybody watch anything good on TV lately? I started watching Umbrella Academy on Netflix. That was pretty cool. Started watching that. I heard it was like really good. It's like a. It was based on a comic book. It's like a pretty much a. Like an X-Men ripoff a little bit, but it's pretty edgy. Started watching Doom Patrol. Started watching two episodes of that. I haven't watched any regular TV at all. Just, you know. Oh, Bryce Harper. I'm sorry. Yeah. Sadly, I have to see Bryce Harper 18 times, 19 times a year in the same, because he was in the same division. He's just playing in a better fucking park now. That team is ridiculous offensively. They got Riamuto. They picked up from Florida. They got McCutcheon. They got Rhys Hoskins. They got Michael Franco. They picked up David Robertson, the closer. They have a sick team. I don't know if it's going to... They still don't have enough pitching, I don't think. But my favorite finisher is the pile driver. Always been. That's my favorite finisher, Matt. Favorite finisher is the pile driver. What's that? Whoa, what'd you get?
Chips. Want some chips?
Oh, no. But I'll take one of these eggs, though.
Take them.
Thanks, pal.
That's what I'm here for.
That's what I'm here for.
Let me get my water. Hold on a second.
Yeah, go get your water. So, anyway. Yeah, man. So, they gave Bryce Harper the richest contract. I thought he was going to go to West Coast because Rob said he's drunk. That's why he was in the wrong chat. They gave Bryce. I thought Bryce Harper's from Vegas, so I thought they were gonna. He was gonna go to San Francisco.
You're a jerk off. That's why I think of you.
Right. He's gonna go to San Francisco, and he didn't. So now I have to deal with him in Philly. So
it's all good.
We have better pitching though, so we'll see what happens.
Best comic book storylines.
Oh Jesus. Red Sun.
Secret Wars.
Secret Wars, Red Sun. Civil War was great.
If we didn't have the Secret Wars, we wouldn't have Venom.
The Infinity Crisis, the original.
Mm-hmm.
The Gauntlet was good.
Maximum Carnage.
Maximum Carnage was great. The first Spawn run was good.
What was the one with...
Batman with Bane. Was that the...
Oh, that's Nightfall.
Nightfall. And the Dark Knight Returns, the one who's old.
Long Halloween was good.
Long Halloween, which I didn't read yet. I have to read that.
You're a jerk-off.
I know, I'm a jerk-off. What else? There's a bunch of them that were great, man.
Oh, dude.
There's so many.
Phoenix Saga.
Dark Phoenix, yeah. So Ghetto Geek Squad will be for that. We'll do that with Lou. Death of Superman was great, yep.
That was... Mm.
The Reign of Superman was great.
Mm-hmm.
So, Machado in San Diego is crazy. Yeah, but that's the thing, man. They had to put asses in the seats. You got to spend money. You got to spend money to make money in sports. That's the bottom line. People want to see an attraction. San Diego, I've never been there, but I heard it's the best. It has the perfect weather. It's like fucking 80 degrees, 75 degrees all year round. Machado's a cunt. Yeah, we know. Mike Trout's going to be...
Hey, Adam.
What's up, buddy? Mike Trout... See... My friend Gary said this, because Mike Trout's a South Jersey guy. So he said Philly should have waited till next year and got Mike Trout instead. That still may happen. Philly may throw him the money, too. Can you imagine that shit? Can you imagine a fucking Trout and Harper on the same team? Forget it. The Mets will never fucking win. Bergman, well, Bergman's a better all-around player. Machado is probably a better bat than Bergman.
Was Matt Squires talking about Annihilation? What is that?
Spider-Man. Wasn't that a Spider-Man storyline? With the lizard?
Torment.
Torment. Oh, okay.
Where Calypso controls,
Yeah. So, yeah, Big Tone's in San Diego. Like, I heard it's, like, amazing weather there. So, who would not want to play there? It's a big park. You know, Petco is a big park. Used to be called Jack Murphy Stadium. Big fucking, big pitcher's park. But Machado's going to hit. He's a bitch, though. He's one of those bitches. Like, he doesn't hustle. You know, he's not a very good clubhouse guy. So that's what you got to deal with. But they the last 2 years, they've spent money. They got Eric Hosmer last year, and they picked up Machado this year. So you got to spend money to make money, man. It's what it's all about.
Fuck them.
Yeah. Yankees, everybody, you should be happy about the Yankees.
Fuck the Yankees. They have like 40 championships, bro.
27.
Whatever. Fuck the Yankees.
I'm starving. So... No, I don't want to eat those. I want to eat real food. I'll buy you a Big Mac on the way home.
No, I'm right. I'd rather have the Big Mick from McDowell's.
The Big Mick, yeah. I'm a Trout, Big Fish something, Chip Chipperson. God damn it. Chip Chipperson does it good. God damn it. I love Chip. Sounds like fucking Snaggletooth. Damn good park. The Murph is a different place. Yeah, I want to go, man. That's my bucket list is to visit the West Coast and do AT&T and...
You're not missing much.
Anyway.
No disrespect.
None, please. No
disrespect. LA fucking sucks.
Yankees rule, you mook.
Fuck the Bronx Bombers.
I want to go to Shea Ravine. I want to do all those fucking parks, man. Any other news? Anything else you want to talk about?
Captain Marvel comes out soon. Oh, it comes out next week.
Yep, Shazam comes out after that.
I'm more excited about... Is it wrong for me to say I'm more excited about Shazam than I am about Captain Marvel?
Yeah, because you guys... Everybody's shitting on Captain Marvel, but she's going to be the tie-in to fucking Endgame, so...
I'm not
shitting on it.
She's gonna be a tie into Endgame. Whatever, man.
I'm not saying it's gonna be a bad movie. I'm more excited about Shazam.
I'm very excited about Shazam.
That's gonna be a great movie, man.
Houston's the best team locally and financially because they've saved money drafting stars. So, well, that's what Atlanta did. Come out when you get here. Actually, yeah, I'm definitely gonna come out to Cali, man. This would be dope. I love to come out to Cali and do a fucking baseball tour. You know, Dodgers, Giants, Padres, Angels, A's, Chris Espo's team, the A's.
Did you say AIDS?
A's, oh, A's, A's.
Okay, terrific.
Yeah, I'm excited. Baseball, spring training's been fucking great, watching all that. That was fun. That's what I've been really doing, watching baseball. I know you're not a baseball guy, so.
I'm bored.
I'm not going to bore you with that.
I'm bored.
Yeah. So.
Captain Marvel ruined the ratings. How?
How?
I don't understand.
The movie didn't even fucking come out yet. It's ruining things.
A lot of people are posting negative reviews, and these are fans that want the DC Captain Marvel to do better, but. Both Captain Marvels are going to be great, regardless. All I'm saying is...
Because DC's finally getting it right.
All I'm saying is I want to see Shazam. That's it.
I love Shazam. Always did.
I'm not a Shazam fan, but I want to see it. It looks good.
I'm a big Shazam fan. Even as a little kid, the live-action one on Channel 2, that corny one, I loved it. It came out in the late 70s, early 80s. It's pretty dope.
I think you're pretty dope.
Thanks, pal. I think you're pretty dope, too.
That's what I'm here for.
That's what I'm here for.
I'm over here now.
What? Did you guys hear that rumor that Dean Ambrose re-signed with WWE and Roman Reigns convinced him to stay with WWE?
No.
No.
Ask me this. Do I care?
No.
We talk about Roman Reigns.
Oh, that's right. Congratulations.
It's good for him. Yeah.
I can't wait for him to come back.
Be cool if he fucks Rollins over, though. That'd be fucking dope.
I believe Double A even said it. He was like, could you imagine if they turn him heel now?
Be even doper.
Dude, that'd be fucking amazing.
Shazam stinks, stupid kid.
Who said that?
That's why he said
why?
That. Because everybody thinks... See, I told you, when I was a kid, I had all the hand-me-down books. Shazam was one of those books.
Dude.
I liked it.
It's genius. A kid who wants to be a superhero? Why not?
Yeah.
It's genius.
I'm glad Roman Reigns is not. Yeah, I'm glad he's in remission. I really am.
Me too. I can't wait for him to come back.
I'm happy for anybody we know that has cancers in remission. It's.
Did you hear the ovation he got on Monday?
You knew that he was going to get that, though. Bro.
And you know what Double A said? Could you imagine he comes back, fucks Rollins over, and then says, "You know what? It took me getting cancer for you guys to start cheering me. Now I say fuck you to every one of you guys."
Okay.
Ron Simmons won?
Yeah. So Ron Simmons is the winner of the Martin Luther King of the Ring 2019.
Good for him.
Congratulations to Ron Simmons. He beat Charles Wright, a.k.a. Godfather, Goodfather, comma, Papa Shango.
The ultimate fighting machine.
Yeah. And if you're listening to the rant yesterday, Double A played a marathon of all the Black Achiever Awards. So, go listen back to that. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool shit. Anyway, all right. Let's take a quick break. We'll plug our friends.
Oh, we are?
And we got. Oh, you have any more news or no?
Do we have to plug them?
Yeah, we do have to plug
them. I'm choking.
Damn. My son said, okay, faggot, what's next? Okay.
Okay, faggot, what's next?
Anyway.
I like Tommy already.
Yeah.
Yes, Ron Simmons. Godfather.
Godfather got robbed.
Oh, get out of here.
Thank you to everybody who participated on Instagram, obviously. Thank you to Nick German for keeping up with this. It's pretty cool.
So is Ron Simmons the greatest black wrestler now that he's won the...
Good question.
Tournament?
If you ask several people in our circle, they'll say that. I don't know if that's the thing, but I never had a...
You say Butch Reed.
All around, Butch Reed was a better wrestler, 100%.
I think Booker T is the greatest black wrestler of all time.
That might be. That's not even debatable, I don't think. He might be the greatest.
He might be the. He's not my favorite. But
he's definitely not my favorite. But he's definitely the greatest.
I think my favorite black wrestler. I'm torn between Ron Simmons and Scorpio.
Oh man, Scorpio!
I love Scorpio.
Fuck! I forgot. Everybody forgets about not tonight.
Not tonight.
Not tonight.
Can I just say?
Oh no, you could say it. You can say it when we do it.
That fucking match was a fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And I hate Barry Windham.
I don't know how you hate Barry Windham. That's still bad. I know.
Because special folk bothered me.
I said this to you in the deli today. I said, I don't know how you don't like fucking Barry Windham.
I don't
get it.
He's a mook.
He's a mook, he says. What is a mook?
What is a mook?
My man looked so out of shape, he was still producing a good match.
All right. Let's take a quick break, do this throwback, and start the month of March off proper. All right, with the Termical Throwbacks, we're live on rantemradio.com and on Facebook Live. 171 comments. You guys are the fucking best.
Fuck you!
We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Horns up. This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at inconclusivepod or facebook.com/inconclusivebreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
This is the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
according to Choppy, it's the best 90s intro.
Oh, yeah.
We're back.
Even Jerry Flynn used this fucking theme.
Great to have him. Valentine used it, too.
Yes, he did.
We're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks live on Rant EM Radio, rantentertainmentmedia.com. It's Phil. It's Choppy.
It is Choppy and Phil.
It's Phil and Choppy. Choppy and Phil. And we're live.
We're live.
Yeah, man. Good show tonight.
Hell yeah, dude. I'm excited for this.
A lot of people interactive tonight. A lot of new people came in tonight. Thank you very much for that.
And if you didn't join in on the chat, I'm pretty sure you went in live on the rant.
Yeah. Oh, we sold a Mook shirt. We sold a t-shirt. So Mook...
Oh, here we go. Okay, let me ask you this, Shoppy. Who's better, Barry Windham or Chris Hero, a.k.a. Cassius Ohno? In terms of, are we talking about resumes or are we talking about in-ring ability? Bless you.
Thank you.
That's what I'm here for. By the way, I used that. Guys,
I used it at work. You used it at work?
I can't believe I did it. I had the balls.
You did it at a RZA.
I can't believe I had the balls to do this. RZA comes in to the one of the sets and he says, "Wow, it looks great." And I was like, "That's what I'm here for."
Ring that bell.
Oh, man.
Get your Mootang Clan shirts.
Please do.
Pro Wrestling Tees / Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Please.
Get the Mootang shirt. Get the New Japan logo. Get the Nintendo logo. Get them all.
Get them all. There's five different shirts.
And if you play cards right, you might get a sixth one. You never know.
Here's the deal. Now that I know that we can officially give Ryan more designs, if you guys want to make some designs, you can win a free shirt, man. Give us some designs. Give us some ideas. High resolution, please. TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com.
Mario was? I didn't know that.
What?
Pantera was sampled for WrestleMania 2000?
I guess so.
All right, to answer George's question, shit. In terms of in-ring ability, I'm going to go with Chris Hero.
Okay.
But in terms of resumes, I'm going to go with fucking Barry Windham.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Yeah, Chris Hero, when he was Kings of Wrestling, I totally fucking agree. He was amazing. Him and Claudio.
Barry Windham, one of the best technical wrestlers on the planet for his size.
I'm not saying he isn't, but not my cup of tea. I think he's a big fucking mook.
And that's how I feel about Luger. People like Luger was great.
Luger sucked.
Luger was terrible.
Garbage.
People made him look good, you know?
The only thing that was good about him was that power driver that he used to do. That was it.
Yeah, his power driver was good.
The attitude adjustment?
That's my favorite move. Well, my favorite wrestling move is the pile driver.
I think the pile driver needs to come back into WWE.
I wish. They're not going to do it.
Yeah, not the Tombstone pile driver. I'm talking about just a regular fucking pile driver.
Yeah, man. Are you ready for your...
Fuck yeah, dude.
He said fuck yeah, dude.
I love this fucking show.
All right.
Clash Champions, let's do it.
And now, here is your throwback of the week. Sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
Thank you, Phil. Luga was terrible.
Oh, he was dreadful.
Thank you, Choppy. All right.
Them against the Briscoes? Which one are you talking about? Which team?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
No, me either. Anyways, let us know.
Yeah, Big Tone, I got your message. You got to hit up my cousin Anthony for the price, though. There's a price for the t-shirts. I don't know how much it's going to cost, but they're getting them made up as we speak. So if you want a shirt, hit up my cousin Anthony. Well, I'll get you a price and whatever, and we'll work that out. But thank you for your message. I'd definitely get you a shirt. But yeah. Anyway, we talked about the Hollywood Blondes last week. And I thought about the match they had, and I was like, you know, do I want to do the whole match, or do I want to do the card? So Sunday, there's some really shitty weather. I was home, and I fucking cooked myself a meal. I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch this whole thing. When I watched the whole thing, I sent you a message. I said, man.
Oh, yeah. I think they fought before. They were really good. No, they were good.
So I said, you know what? I said, we're going to do this. The whole fucking thing.
And by God, you said that.
So this was good. This was June 16th,
1993,
from the Scope, the very infamous Scope in Norfolk, Virginia.
And for those who don't know what Norfolk Scope is like outside of those grounds, it is fucking ghetto.
And shout out to our boy
Scott,
who lives not too far from there.
Yes, he does. He does not live too far from there.
So shout out to Scott. Scott, when Scott was on Turnbuckle Throwbacks, we spoke about that area.
What a shithole it is.
Yeah, it is a shithole, but it was a mainstay for Mid-Atlantic wrestling. Like, every area has their Madison Square Garden. If Virginia had a Madison Square Garden, it'd be the Scope.
No, yeah, it would be.
Like, Atlanta had the Omni. You know, like, there were certain spots, you know what I'm saying?
Correct.
So, that would be, like, the equivalent to the Garden, you know?
A lot of historical moments, especially with DX invading WCW.
Yes. Now, 6,000 people were in attendance, but, you know, WCW makes it look like it's 16,000, which is pretty dope.
Dude, the production was a top-notch in 93 for this.
2.6 on a rating chop.
It's not bad. Pretty good.
For I think it was during the week, too. That's the thing, man. TBS always put their shit on, like, crazy, like, on a Monday or a fucking...
I remember watching a Nitro one time, and the Clash of Champions came out on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
It was, like, weird, and I was like, oh, my God. And at the time, mind you, I didn't know what the Clash of Champions was. So I saw wrestling. I was like, oh, my God, wrestling. And then I was
hooked. Yeah, I always liked Clash of the Champions, even as an adult, because when I found out Dusty was doing it to compete with Vince... I was like, this is cool. And anytime you got free wrestling on TV, you have to pay for it.
Ugh.
Fucking dope. You know?
Clash Champions was like a pay-per-view that you
watched. Yeah, because, I didn't get cable till 90, so I would go to my friend's house. Like, oh, Clash of Champions is on? Let's do it. And we would record it. And even if we didn't watch it that day, we would record it with his dad's top-loading VCR, and then we'd fucking watch it.
Can I ask you, do you miss tape training?
Yeah.
I miss it, too. It was like...
Yeah, I missed the pen pal thing. I had friends in Canada, you know, who Oklahoma.
I had a friend of mine who introduced me to the Hollywood Blondes in 1996, right when Austin became Stone Cold.
Yeah,
he was like, "You want to see Austin with hair?" I'm like, "Okay." So he popped in the Hollywood Blondes from '93. I was like, "Wow, this is insane! This is amazing."
Shout out to my dude Dave Strobel, one of my childhood friends. Dave introduced me to Strong Style. Dave was tape trading himself.
Really?
And he got all the tapes from New Japan, Old Japan.
How would people get that?
So there was a thing in the wrestling magazines. It was pen pals.
Oh.
And you'd write them, like, hey, you know, and we would swap tapes.
Wow, look at that.
And then I played IWA.
Imagine, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I won the U.S. championship, by the way. I have a plaque and everything.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
But my friend won a championship belt. My buddy Jay, yeah. My buddy Good. Brian, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So when we played IWA... You paid, and if you want, like, didn't we have internet back then, by the way? So let's say you...
What, 92?
No, like, this is the early 90s. We didn't have the internet. So this is 91, 92, oh, so 90, 93. 90, from 90 to 93, I played. We didn't have internet. And I played even more back further when I met Jay Groom back in the late 90s, too. I went back to it. But when we played, you would send a dollar with your picks, your moveset. And you would write, like, your fucking... You do your trash talk, and they print out bulletins. You get a bulletin, and everybody had the trash talk in there. But you would pay a dollar if you wanted to get in touch with another manager. Like, say you wanted... Like, I wanted to join your stable or something. I would pay a dollar. And I'd say, hey, can you give this letter to Choppy? And it would forward the letter. So then we started... Then when that happened, where are you from? Oh, you're from Oklahoma? Yeah, you get AWA? Yeah, you get Mid-South? Let me get... And we would... You got Smoky Mountain, Tennessee? Well, my friend does, and we would swap tapes all the time.
You know what I always wanted to check out was Don Owens' Pacific Northwest.
Oh,
that shit must be amazing.
I had some of that too.
Did you really?
A couple of like episodes, not like a whole run.
Well, how was it?
It was great.
Oh my God,
it was great.
Do you still have that shit?
Nah, my videotapes are gone. I had to throw them out when I left Decca. If you remember, I had to throw half my life out. If you remember that, don't get me started.
Kevin Castle talked about Wrestling Mag tape trading and how some traders were trying to lure young kids. Ooh.
Yeah, gross. But Kevin Castle and I, true story, when Kevin was booking my band in 96, Kevin would call me. I was the only one in the band that had like their own phone. People were still living at home with their mom. I still lived at home, but I had my own phone.
Okay.
Because I wasn't living there all the time. So, but I had my own like phone line. So Kevin would call me to book the shows on a Monday night. Okay. I'd be home watching Nitro, Raw, whatever. And we started swapping tapes. Kev's from Brooklyn, but he lived in Brooklyn, Queens. He lived in Queens, moved to Queens. I had a tape guy in Brooklyn in Bay Ridge. He would give me all the wrestling and all that shit, you know? So, yeah, me and Kev did some trading, too, because Kev had some stuff. He had some Mid-South and all that. So me and Kev even did some tape trading.
Gotcha.
But that was, like, the closest I've ever had to a trade that was in the same fucking area. Everything else is from, like, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Toronto, Canada. Yeah. Like, crazy shit, man. Crazy, crazy, crazy shit. So anyway, yeah, 2.6 on a rating. Jesse Ventura, Tony Schiavone calling the action. Clash of the Champions, number 23.
We had a dark match. I didn't know there was a dark match, honestly.
Yeah.
Jim Neidhart versus...
Shanghai Pierce.
The fuck is that?
That was, what's his face? One of the Godwins. Tex Slashinger and Shanghai Pierce.
Really?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe so, yeah.
For your opening match?
The opening match.
Which was originally supposed to be Ron Simmons versus Paul Orndorff for the television title.
Yeah, TV champ. Paul Orndorff was a TV champ.
Unfortunately, Orndorff was injured.
Yeah, they had it. It had it as a groin injury, but in non-kayfabe, he got into a car accident.
Yeah.
And fucked his leg up. Kind of the decline of Paul Orndorff at that point. He had the arm issue.
His muscles started to atrophy a little bit.
Yeah, he started getting like his body was breaking down basically.
Poor guy, man.
So the accident kind of put the fucking kibosh on his career.
You know? So then it got turned from, and then it turned out to be Ron Simmons versus Dick Slater.
Yeah, Henry Godwin was Shanghai Pierce.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Thanks for the info on that one.
Yeah. But, you know, Ron Simmons, super over, former world champion at this point.
Correct.
He was a year after. And he was super over, had his own song. We'll play that in a little while. I found it from the Slam Jam.
Wow.
Wait till you hear it.
That song on the network was fucking dreadful.
That was the song, dude.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was.
That was his song?
Don't Step to Ron. Yeah, it was called WCW Slam Jam. Yeah, WCW Slam Jam.
That was
their album. They had an album out called Slam Jam.
But the one on network, that was actually his song.
Yeah.
No way. That
OCD is awful.
Ooh.
Man Cold Sting is on there. Steiner Rise is on there. Rick Rude's on there. Cactus Jackson.
Rick Rude I liked.
Yeah, I guess so. But there was a couple of terrible songs. I'll play the terrible song in a little while. But anyway, back to the match. The
match was good.
Dick Slater was great.
I'm not a fan.
Dick Slater was always good, man.
But he looked much bigger than fucking Ron. How big was Dick Slater?
I want to say he was close to three bills, but Dick Slater was always a big dude, though.
He's tall, dude.
He's a massive motherfucker,
dude. I couldn't believe how much he kind of towered a little bit over Ron.
Dick Slater cut his teeth in Florida.
Yes.
Him and Dusty were a team for a while. He was a super heel.
What was like his like
Mid-South?
What was the peak of his career?
Mid-South and then NWA mid-80s.
That's what his
when
peak.
He came in and helped Dusty with the Koloffs and he was the gorilla.
Gotcha, okay.
This is my gorilla.
My gorilla.
This is what we do. It's Mother's Day. Come here, gorilla. I brought your mama here.
He said, come over here, gorilla.
Mother's Day. Yeah, you know the story. You heard us do it on a couple of throwbacks. But there was a Mother's Day edition had the gorilla. Dick Slater was in the suit in the cage. And Dusty brought another gorilla and said, that's your mama. That's your mama gorilla.
Gotta love Dusty.
Georgie said he had a comic book spot that I would go to, but comics, weed, and trade wrestling tapes.
Damn.
See, I didn't trade locally except with Kevin Castle.
Did you trade weed?
No, we sold weed, though.
Georgie said he traded weed.
He went to get his weed up in that weed spot. See, the weed spots where Georgie is in Brooklyn, where I was always to hang, were bodegas. And certain bodegas had weed, but you'd have to know where they were at. And they would certain times you can go there. There was code words and go in the back, you know, whatever. And, you know, you have to ask for it or ask somebody by name. And it was a deal, you know. It was, like a speakeasy back in the 30s.
Like right now, Turnbuckle Throwbacks is a deal.
Oh, yeah. Way, way bigger deal than that. But good match, though, man.
Nice little power slam. I actually thought he was just going for a regular scoop slam, but he went for the scoop and then into the power slam.
I was never a big fan of Ron Simmons' work. However, this was the time when Ron Simmons was just winding down from his WCW run. He went to ECW shortly after this and had a huge feud with two feuds with Ron with Tully Blanchard
and Shane.
And Shane Douglas.
Yep.
So Ron Simmons was not a bad wrestler, not my favorite, but he was a presence.
He's not a bad wrestler, but he had like you said, he had presence, he had a physique, he had charisma.
He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he was good.
And then that your winner at 3 minutes and 56 seconds, Ron Simmons.
Yes, Dick Slater did knock out Big John Matusak, the football player. Knocked him out.
He did?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, knocked him out.
Dick Slater was a tough motherfucker.
No, I'm telling he didn't fuck around. He wore, and that shit that he wore to the ring, he wore that in real life. Like, he wore stars and bars everywhere.
Wow.
That's crazy. He was the rebel Dick Slater in 86 in WWF. He was like a face. He was terrible in fucking WWF, though. He could not be a fucking face wrestler ever. He's one of those guys that had to be a heel all the time. So, but gotcha. He sold a lot of t-shirts, though.
Next match.
A Meltzer match. You got a Meltzer alert. Meltzer alert. Three and three quarter stars.
No, that's before. That's
Sorry. We skipped it. I'm sorry.
Lord Steven Regal.
Lord Steven Regal.
With Sir William, which is Bill Dundee.
Bill Dundee, that's right.
Defeat. Hold on. Against the young upstart.
The rookie, WCW Rookie of the Year.
Oh, my God.
Marcus Alexander Bagwell.
He's like 22 or 23 years old at this time.
Yes.
What a mook.
Let's talk about Steven Regal for a second. This was Regal's, not his debut, but he was fairly new at this
Still
point.
Still fairly new, yes. You want to know how old he was?
29, 28.
Regal?
Yeah.
And 93 is 25.
25, okay.
25.
He looked like he was 29.
Fuck that. He looked like he was 40.
I was cooking dinner, and I heard the match, right? And I'm like, ooh, I forgot about it. I kept running back into the living room. Ooh, I forgot about this match. Ooh, I forgot about this match. Mm-hmm. And it was like, holy shit, man. So I was telling Choppy in the store today. We stopped at a deli to get some sandwiches. And I said, yo, man, I said, tell me how dope it was to watch Regal stretch out fucking Bagwell. Knowing what Bagwell became, right? And what Steven Regal is now, you know? William Regal, Steven Regal, same thing. But so much fun. This match was pretty good, actually. It 6.5 minutes.
Surprisingly good. Because yeah,
Bagwell wasn't a bad wrestler.
I was not a fan.
I wasn't a fan either, but he wasn't bad. Like, it wasn't like...
He was okay.
Right, it wasn't like Regal had to carry him much either. He still had that spunk. He was still a rookie, so...
The only thing that was good about Bagwell was his finisher, which was the blockbuster.
The blockbuster, yeah.
That was the only thing he was good about.
But Regal stretched him out.
Regal fucked his ass up. And then that weird roll-up with the tights at the end?
Yeah.
You can tell that even Regal was trying to hurt him a little bit now.
Yeah. You know what's fucked up? Yeah, you know, I was going to say that. I felt like Regal used every excuse just to put a fucking punch or an extra uppercut.
My favorite is the way he put his forearm in a guy's face.
Yeah.
Bro, that was dope.
You can tell, like, he's that stretch, strong style, fucking British, fucking catch wrestling, beat your face and kind of...
You know what I just think about? Could you imagine Stu Hart in his prime versus Regal in his prime?
It'd be one fucking... It'd be three holds.
Bro,
it'd be three holds. It'd be stretch, pull, and push. Stretch, pull, push.
Dude,
it'd be three moves.
I think it'd be amazing. I don't know.
Oh, look who's in the room, Chops.
Oh, fuck.
Look who's in the room.
I just got Ajita.
You got... Anyway.
Hey, Nick, what's up, dude?
What's up, Nick? So, knowing what you know now about Regal, and knowing what you know now about Bagwell, it was so fucking dope to watch these guys, you know, watch Bagwell get his ass kicked.
Bagwell is, and they were, by the way, during the match, they were promoting Bagwell and Scorpio as, like, the number three tag team.
Yeah.
For the World Tag Team titles. It was insane.
Yeah.
What do you mean, oh, come on, Choppy? I'm joking, dude.
Anyway.
Fucking jerk.
Your next match, though.
This match was surprisingly good.
Meltzer alert. 3.75 stars.
Yep.
For the NWA heavyweight title, Barry Windham defends against Two Cold Scorpio.
What a match.
Now, again, seeing this 20-something years later, you forget that WCW broke off with the NWA, but the NWA still was a viable thing, and it was the belt was defended regularly on TV.
Yes.
And Crockett was... Turner was the only one that was doing it. So, I was telling Choppy this in the store...
I love seeing that big gold belt, though.
Big gold belt's amazing. It's, you know, next to the TV title, it's my favorite belt. Choppy just being your friendly neighborhood mook.
That's right.
It's true, Mike. My brother knows. I could tell you all day how much I love Barry Windham, and I appreciate him more as an adult, too. But seeing the title, seeing his last couple of matches around this time, he fought Luger. He fought... I'm sorry. He
Muda.
Fought Luger, Muda. He fought Steamboat. He fought Sting. He fought Flair. He fought a bunch of guys for that title, you know? And crazy. Just, and then Too Cold Scorpio gets the fucking title shot. Now, again,
were you shocked that he got a title shot?
No, because a year later, he's in the finals of the tournament in Philly. Yeah. So, like, Scorpio is always there. It makes perfect sense that he gets a title shot.
Good.
When I was 15, I mean, when I was 19, I was like, wait a minute. Why? But as an adult, you're like, it makes fucking perfect sense. You know? So, there was nothing bad about this match.
I love the fact that, you know, Barry had most of the control towards the middle of the match. And then when Scorpio got that comeback towards the end, that's when everything really got good.
How good is fucking Jesse Ventura on commentary in WCW?
Amazing. No control.
He doesn't get credit enough. I mean, we always praise Jesse for being WWF, him and Monsoon, him and McMahon.
He's good in WCW.
No one puts him over in WCW.
He's good, though.
He does amazing fucking commentary during this whole card.
Yes.
Amazing. He made this match perfect for me.
You want to know something? I think that a lot of, like, I don't know if you noticed it in WCW, his commentary is more not biased towards the heels. It's more like, look, Regal grabbed the tights. You know, if Marcus had grabbed the tights, he would have won the match. He
was trying to be nonpartisan.
Yeah, he was really good.
Because, bro, Anthony's in the room.
What's up, Anthony, bro?
What's up, bro? But yeah, dude, there was nothing wrong with this match at all.
Barry Windham doing a drop kick.
The superplex.
Which is,
he was the only guy that was doing that. Him and Bob Orton were the only two guys that I ever seen do a
superplex. Yeah, that's right, Bob Orton.
At that time.
Yeah, Bob Orton.
At that time.
Him, yeah.
Around, the first time I saw it was Bob Orton do it in like the early 80s, but.
The ending of the match was pretty cool when he got that punch on Scorpio and then nailed that, I guess, what do you call that DDT? The way he did the DDT at the end of the match. It's like it's almost like Christian's DDT, but he did it. But you know,
Young Pretty.
It was not a reverse.
Like inverted.
It was like an inverted DDT, but not really. It was like he would put him in the DDT position, but then just dropped down to the
ground. Oh yeah, it's modified DDT.
Yeah, it's like an impaler DDT, whatever you want to call it. But it was a nice looking move, and I was extremely impressed with this match. I was blown away.
Yeah, 12 minutes, 53 seconds.
I think it should have went longer.
It felt like it went longer. I like when matches are good and they feel like they go longer. Not that it was bad and it went longer. You kind of put a twist on shit, you
correct.
Know? So
now this match.
This match was pretty crazy.
I enjoyed it.
I liked what I liked about this match was that everybody had heat with everybody. You know, so we had.
Do they do that nowadays? Like where each like. You know, a singles wrestler and three singles wrestlers have problems with three other singles. Because I don't see that anymore.
It happens like Survivor Series sometimes.
Yeah, but that's it.
Not in storyline anymore.
Nah.
This is cool because it was Rick Rude and the Masters of the Powerbomb.
Yep.
Which was Vader and Vicious.
Correct.
With Will, Colonel Rob Parker and Holly Race, the racist, against Davey Boy Smith, Dustin Rhodes.
Good.
And the man... that they call
Sting.
You get your rocks off of that one, don't you?
Sting.
Anyway, so Sting had beef with Rhodes had beef with Rick Rude.
Sting had beef with Vader,
and Davey Boy had beef with
Sid Vicious.
This was a fun match.
It was a good match, dude. Shocked.
Yeah.
It was.
Now, you got to know something. There's a couple of guys in here that don't work very well.
Vicious.
Davey Boy Smith.
I like Davey Boy. I thought he was a good worker.
He was okay, but, you know. And Dustin Rhodes is coming into his own.
I like the way his promo before the match was really good.
Yeah. Again, though, like, I'm telling you, this might be Jesse Ventura's best WCW work. In the entire time he was there. That and Bash at the Beach.
I thought him and Bash at the Beach was okay.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah. But this is fun. This is, I mean.
And you know what's good about this show? It sets up for Beach Blast.
Yeah, because Johnny B. Bad gets the blast in the face from Max Payne.
Bro, did you see that? That was great. I hate Max Payne, but that was great.
How do you not hate Max Payne, right?
That was really good.
Right, no, you're right. I hate Johnny B. Bad, too. But that's besides the point.
You love Mark Mero.
Ugh. The shits.
Give me back my what do you call it?
The blast cannon?
The blast cannon.
Give me back my blast cannon.
My blast cannon. That's racist.
Fucking jerk.
You're a jerk off.
That's what I think of you.
So, Chop, get into this a little bit.
So, basically, there was a point in the match where they're really taking it to fucking Dustin Rhodes, man. Like, you know, Sid gets in there. Vader does the Vader bomb.
Yes, he does.
That was sick. And then, but the reason that happens, though, is because, you know, Dustin Rhodes goes up to the top rope, takes his sweet-ass time. Vader moves out of the way, and he drops an elbow and misses the elbow of Dustin Rhodes. And then, you know, it's just Vader just pummeling him to the fucking ground.
But Vader, see, that's the thing. I'd never seen Vader hold back on anybody. Have you ever seen Vader, like, actually restrain himself from throwing real punches? Or he was just a brute.
Dude, do you remember the match with him and Cactus?
Yes.
Where he broke Cactus's nose?
Yeah, no, but that's the thing. Like, I've seen him. Look at his stuff against fucking Misawa.
Dude, they...
It's a...
He's so stiff.
Yeah. So stiff. Dude, you're right. Jesse did kill it. Mr. X checking in. Jesse did kill it. Right. Bish was good with the interviews. Dude, there was not... This might be, like, my favorite Clash of the Champions. One of my favorites. That, the time limit with Sting, and... And the one with Terry Funk and Ric Flair from Troy, New York.
Gotcha.
That was Clash of the Champions.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so going back to the match.
Yeah, go back to the match.
The
heels win. The
heels win because the Halliburton briefcase was used.
Yes.
But was it Harley Race or Colonel Rob Parker? I forget.
It was a Parker, I believe.
It was Parker. He nailed Dustin Rhodes with the briefcase. That's where, I believe...
Well, they call him the natural.
I think it was Rude who pins him.
Yeah.
And that was the end of the match. And then Vicious and Vader get involved. I think they hit somebody with a power bomb, and it was just...
Yeah, everybody had their spots, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that they made the heels win to carry the storyline...
The pay-per-view, yeah.
That's what I like. This is storytelling, kids. This is storytelling. This is what you do to fucking move the story along, and that's how you do it. So, perfect. Perfect.
What about that Stinger splash into the guardrail?
Dude,
come on, that thing looked like it hurt a lot, bro.
You know, and I want to bring that up too. I should have wrote this down, and I'm glad you brought it up, dude, because Sting doesn't get enough credit for all the stuff he doesn't do. He takes bumps really well. He always did, and I feel like even though he went above and beyond sometimes, like overkill, like oversold a lot of shit. He doesn't get credit for the stuff that he didn't do. You know, like when he doesn't do the splash or he fucks up a splash or he's in the right place the right time. Like Sting was so good, man. He was so good.
I became a fan of Sting after the Surfer gimmick only. And
You were too young to appreciate.
I was more of a fan of the gimmick than I was of the style that he wrestled in.
Yeah.
Because it was very you know what? I still think this very day that if Sting had, like, for example, just went to the E and, like, after he had won the title from Flair, and then if he had gone to the E in the 90s, he would have been a megastar because he had the style that Vince liked, that go through the motions kind of style, you know?
Yeah.
And, I enjoyed Sting. I think he was really good.
Yeah, I just think Sting was very instrumental in stuff. I mean, he was very good at stuff that he didn't do.
Correct. So. Yes.
So, all right. So,
the main event
is basically what we're here for.
Oh, right? God. I love this match.
We reference this match a lot.
It's a great match.
It's a great match, one. Two, as you heard in the beginning of the show, it tells a really good story.
It does, man.
You know? So, Barry Windham is instrumental in bringing the Hollywood Blondes together. If you watch that promo from a couple months prior.
Correct.
He needed a partner, and then he couldn't fight. He got hurt. So he was supposed to team up with Pillman. So he told Pillman, I got somebody to team up with you. And he brought Steve Austin in. And they were supposed to form a little group. Never happened, thank God. Nothing against Barry Windham. But the Blondes were born. And it was a perfect match.
And this is what you get when you put two world-class athletes together.
That's right. You remember that?
Oh, my God. I love that promo.
Good. I'm glad you remember that. That sets the tone for this. Let's talk about Ric Flair and Arn Anderson at this time.
Yep.
They were, Ric Flair was on his fifth title? No. Ninth.
About? He was on his ninth title.
Right? I was there when he won his sixth.
Yeah.
In Meadowlands. But transition, again, Flair had just came back.
He was on his 90-day no-compete clause with WWF.
Right. He just came back.
So. And that's why that's why with the Flair for the gold, you didn't see him fight. Get physical with the Blondes.
But the Blondes did. See, the Blondes, to their credit, won the belts. They beat Steamboat and Douglas, right?
Yes, for the Unified titles.
Right. They fought everybody.
It was, their main team.
They fought everybody.
Their main feud, though, was definitely Shane Douglas and Ricky Steamboat. They tore it up.
Let me, again, this team, and Austin says this to this day, that, you know, even though it set the tone for Austin, and then, well, Pillman went on a downslide because he got hurt and all that with the ECW, whatever. But, I mean, he still had a career, but it wasn't the same. The breakup was their best asset because they became superstars, but Austin, to this day, will tell you that them breaking him and Brian up was a mistake because they were really, really good.
They were hot, man. They main evented a Clash of the Champions.
How often? Look, all my older wrestling fans, or even the new wrestling fans, younger kids, tell me how many cards you see on pay per view or on television. Not television, well, like these, in, like Saturday Night's main event or. It started becoming a thing where tag team wrestling was the main event. Tag team wrestling was never a main event.
Then. Never. Unless you were the LOD. And that's it.
Yeah. You know. But to main event a card in the early 90s for a tag team match was good. So, like, you know, I played the beginning with Flair for the Gold. Like Choppy said, Flair couldn't compete. The Blondes come on to Flair for the Gold, and they just do everything
to incite
a riot with them and insult them. It was great that the dynamic was Arn Anderson gets upset first, Rick calms him down, the Blondes get under his skin, then they get under Flair's skin. Now Flair's taking his jacket off, sets this up, there's a couple of run-ins, and then the fucking blow-off, the match. 2 out of 3 falls, and Arn and Flair requested 2 out of 3 falls, because title matches back in the day were always 2 out of 3 falls.
Correct.
In certain territories, you had that. So guys would do broadways, do 2 out of 3 falls. Singles or tag team, regardless. What the fuck's on arms? There's a stampede up there.
It's the kids.
Anyway, okay. So I found the promo before the match from WCW Saturday Night. Shall I play it?
Please.
Well, Pillman and Austin says you two youngsters have been prepossessed with something other than a wrestling, apparently. Maybe you've been in a cave for the last decade. You really don't know who I am at all, do you? Well, gentlemen, 4 times I've held the World Tag Team titles with 4 different partners. I didn't do that by accident. I didn't trip and fall in a hole, and they threw the tag team belts on top of me because they felt sorry for me. I specialize in tag matches. Ric Flair has been the World Heavyweight Champion, 9 times? He never thought about tag team wrestling until this point because he never had to. But, gentlemen, when you insult myself, you insult the integrity of Ric Flair and you insult the integrity of the Four Horsemen, I find no other recourse but to show you why. All these people are coming up to you telling you, yes, they are the dirtiest players in the game. And in a 2 out of 3 fall situation for the belts, all of a sudden the champions are the underdogs. That's exactly what we're going to prove to you.
Oh, it's old school. You didn't want it, but you got it. The World Tag Team titles on the line. 2 out of 3 falls. That means you two punks, you gotta dig in. You gotta want it. You gotta taste it. You see, it's real easy to stand there on national TV and insult the enforcer, insult the nature boy, to call out Arn Anderson, to talk down to Ric Flair. But now, Norfolk, Virginia, the Clash of Champions, live. You two punks gotta walk that aisle. You wanted me back in the sport. You wanted me out of retirement. You want a double A and I side by side? Well, you got it. 2 out of 3 falls. That's a gut check. That means you got to be in the best condition mentally and physically of your life. Because what are you going to say? When these two old-timers walk off with all the gold, all the glory, all the notoriety, and all the prestige, well, geez, Double A, the Nature Boy, world tag team champions, bright lights, big cities, Norfolk, talent like this for us, Bruce Smith, Rex Harrison, Sweet Pea, all the boys will be there, front row, to see the Enforcer and the Nature Boy take back the world tag team titles. Woo!
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that, huh? How about that for a promo? I apologize for the audio. It's you know, 20-something years old.
It's like 25 years old, so yeah, it's fine.
So I apologize, but I found it.
It's amazing.
Yeah. 20 minutes, 45 seconds. What a match. All with TV time remaining.
Yes.
That old gag, right? You know.
Oh.
Yeah, Flair won them for the Midnight Express for the titles. That's right.
That must have been
amazing. That was a good match, actually. Good call, Georgie. This had all the feels.
It had a big five feel because he had Buffer announcing the match.
That was new. That was new for them, bringing him in for those cards.
Putting the tag team titles up on a line was also pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, Austin and Pillman held the unified tag team titles. Now, you had Austin holding the NWA title, and then you had Pillman holding the WCW World Tag Team title.
Yep.
And also, a fun fact. I know Arn looks a lot older than you think, but believe it or not, in 1993, Arn was only 35 years old. Only 35 years old. That's insane.
You could say what you want about Arn Anderson, and people will argue he was the best TV champion. And
great tag team wrestler.
Probably, and I've said this on the show before, probably the best tag team wrestler ever.
Him and Tully had the best tag team. I'm sorry. That's just my opinion.
That's your favorite tag team?
Hands down.
Okay.
Hands down.
My favorite tag team is the Road Warriors, but they're not the best tag team. That's a different story. They might be the best tag team ever.
Hands down, to me.
You know? But, I mean, it's debatable because I love the Midnight Express, you know?
Correct.
And I love the Bulldogs and whatever. Anyway. So, you could say what you want about the time. Okay, the amendment now, this is a year before Hogan. So there's WCW is now slowly getting their own gig. They're getting their own fucking feel, their own big fight. Like Chubby likes to use that word, the words big fight feel. Because when we were kids, that was the big fight feel. When boxing was a thing in the 90s, in the late 80s, early 90s, the Tysons, De La Hoyas of the world, Sweet Pea Whitaker, whatever weight class it was, big fight feel. When you bring big fight feel to pro wrestling, it is a big fight feel. It's a big deal, and this is a big deal. Anytime they brought Michael Buffer out, it was a big deal, and they kept him there from like 93 to like 99. Maybe up until the end, maybe up until like Sin. I don't remember.
Maybe.
But he was there for almost a decade, period. And this was still a really different time for wrestling because 93 WWF was like it was like reaching into that
93 matches in the matches in the WWF were not that good.
And you're still a year away from extreme wrestling. So now this is but to have that big fight feel on live television, free live television. Well, cable, but free, not pay-per-view. This was it. If I were to show anybody a match, a tag team match, if you were a casual fan and said, show me a tag team match from each decade, I'm taking this match from the 90s.
I agree.
This might be, and you guys can argue this with me, or debate it. I don't like to use the word argument because we're not really arguing anything. This might be the best tag team match of the 90s. Yeah. Of the 90s.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Because they had it had everything. It had already a built-in story from the Flair from the Gold. It had really good storytelling in the match. And it was for the titles. For the titles, dude. It's amazing. It's just great. It's like you said, a big fight feel.
Now, even though the match ended in a schmoz.
Correct.
It didn't matter.
It was good.
It was really fucking good.
I enjoyed it.
Really fucking good. So this match went 20 minutes, 45 seconds long. TV time remaining. Ric Flair won the first fall, beat Brian Pillman.
Yep.
But then the tide turns drastically. The Blondes used every part of that ring to beat the living shit out of Arn Anderson and Ric Flair.
Correct.
Ric Flair became the Ricky Morton of the group, took most of the beating. Pillman and Austin were very good at hot tags. They were so good being reckless. A lot of the outside ring stuff was really good. Arn Anderson was such a fucking vital part of that, just coming back in with the hot tag and saving the team. Like, it had an 80s feel. It was a 90s match, had an 80s. This reminded me of, like, the Rock and Roll Express Horseman type of thing, you know? Or the Bulldogs Heart Foundation type of thing, you know? But it had that 80s feel to it.
And when I was reading Flair's book, he talks about this match.
He does. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up.
And he says that Austin and Pillman were selfless when it comes to this match. They were, because Austin was like, oh, we want you guys to do this. And then Flair's like, whoa, what about us getting, what about you guys getting offense in us? He's like, no, don't worry about it. It's going to be great. He's like, no. You need to get offense in this match so that way you guys look good and we look good.
Ric Flair made a career. This is fact. Ric Flair made a career of making other people amazing.
And then
debate me on that. Anybody, any podcaster, any fan of the show, any peer of us, friends of us on social media, friends of the show, debate me on that. Ric Flair made a fucking career of making other people.
He made
so many people that didn't even belong in their spot look good. Ask Ronnie Garvin about that. To an extent, and I say this loosely, ask Dusty Rhodes about that. Even though Dusty went with him, no one thought he could. But ask Dusty, ask Luger about that. Ask Magnum.
Ask
Nikita. Ask Barry Windham. Ask Arn Anderson.
Ask Hawk from the LOD.
Ask Harley fucking Race. He made all, even though those guys were great, he made them greater. Period. Ask Hogan. Hogan will admit it to you. Every time you bring it up to him, he will admit it to you. That Flair made you look X thing.
Ask Terry Funk.
Definitely ask Terry Funk.
Ask Ricky Steamboat.
Ask Jack Briscoe. Ask Buddy Landell. I can go on and on. The fucking list is long and distinguished.
Ask Macho Man Randy Savage. Another one.
Done. Like, even though some of these guys were great, he made them look greater. And Chobby brings up the point of the book that, what are you doing to us?
You gotta do something to us.
Tell the story correctly. And no knock on Austin. Austin was just trying to do the right thing.
Correct.
I would do the same thing.
I want you guys to do this. Chop me in the chest a billion times. Do this. Do that. And then Flair was like, "Whoa, what are you going to do to us? We got to beat us up too."
Debate me on that. I dare you. You see his match portfolio. Any decade. 80s, 90s, 2000s. Look at those fucking matches. Even when he got older,
he made Triple H.
Triple
look
H. Batista.
HBK.
Shawn Michaels. Undertaker.
He made Carlito look good.
Carlito for the U.S. title. Correct.
Oh my God.
Randy Orton. Fucking Cody Rhodes.
Remember that match with Randy Orton, the cage match?
What about DiBiase's kid?
Yes!
No one talks about Ted DiBiase's kid, but he was there for that.
Damn.
This match was so good. Like I said, so Flair gets Pillman 9 minutes, 40 seconds in, and then they get DQ'd because there's a run-in with Barry Windham. Paul Roma comes out. He just became a horseman.
Yep.
So he makes the save. But the entire match was so well done.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
Yeah. I can't begin to tell you how I enjoyed this. That I did, again, like I said, I could. If somebody said to me, "Show me a tag team match," I'd show them this match.
I actually, the first time I saw this match is when I bought the Stone Cold Truth DVD.
Oh yeah,
and it was a secret match on the DVD. I think you had to hit.
Oh, like one of those the Easter egg they call it.
Yeah, Easter egg matches.
Okay.
And I saw this. I was like, "Whoa, what the hell is this?" Pops up, and this match popped up as an Easter egg.
I think I have to check my. I bought the Best of the Clash of the Champions disc.
Okay.
I think this is on there.
I'm sure it is.
It's one of the greatest matches of all time.
In WCW history.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ. The final.
It's all right. Whatever. So.
Yeah, but fantastic.
Great match.
Yeah. I can't begin to tell the our fan base how much this is. If you've never seen this, please, by all means, it's on the network. Listen. It's only an hour and a half. It's not a big card.
And
at
it's
all.
It's not a 3 hour show. It's like you said. It's an hour and a half. It was an easy watch.
It had one filler match, which was Regal and Bagwell. Everything else had a story.
And we originally were supposed to see Johnny Bad versus Max Moon or
Max Payne.
Max Payne.
Max Moon.
Whatever the fuck his name was.
Same thing.
Man Mountain Rock.
Man Mountain Rock. That's right. Oh,
remember that gimmick?
Oh,
what a shit gimmick that was.
But yeah, so you would have saw two fillers.
Correct.
But instead, they added fucking 15 more minutes to this match. And thank God Johnny Bad and Max Payne didn't fucking fight, because it would have put the kibosh on this almost 21 minute gem
classic
of a classic fucking tag team match.
It just shows that Austin and Pillman were taught the right way, and Arn and Flair were just amazing. Even Flair at 43 years old or 44 years old, and Arn was still pretty good at 35. And,
absolutely.
And I was honored to watch this match again. I think I've watched this match at least 20 times already. I love this match.
Yeah, it is. Again, like anybody asks me, hey, Phil, show me a tag team match.
Boom, that one.
Don't ask Al Perez.
Oof.
Ring the bell.
Oof.
Ring the bell.
I got to watch that shoot interview with Al Perez.
Me too.
I'm sure it's amazing.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, that's it, man. That's it for us tonight.
Yep.
We had a good. That was good. That was fun. That was fun. It's all good.
Yep.
Let's
wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up. So
my ass has to be up at 6 in the morning.
That's right. You're working tomorrow.
Ugh.
Oof.
Really?
Dude.
Oh.
You got to hear this whole album. I could do a podcast on this.
Yuck.
This is called Don't Step to Ron. This is so fucking great. It's bad great, you know? Anyway, new shirts, ProWrestlingTees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com for all your back catalog. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com for all your back catalog and air shows. Rant EM Radio and all their shows. Tuesday nights, The Wizards and The Rant. And us back on next Friday. All the social media gimmicks. And what else is... Oh, yeah, thank you to fucking Nick German for the Martin Luther King of the Ring tournament brackets. Thank you for Black History Month. We had some good stuff, good content this year.
Thank you for just being fans.
Yeah, seriously.
Thank you.
Thank you for everything, man.
If it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be where we're at right now.
So yeah, thank you. Yeah, really.
You guys give us the fuel to keep going every week, and we appreciate you guys.
Yeah, 200-something comments tonight, and some new people, too. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Everyone, thank you.
So, guys, have a great rest of your week. Take care of yourself, each other, avoid the clap, and get arrested. Don't say any of those nasty words. Back next week, same bad time, same bad channel. And that's it.
Warner Robins, Georgia.
That's it.
That's it. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie.
A serious grudge, and I can't wait to get you in the ring. You wonder what's next, and I'ma catch you off guard with a suplex, even if you got a lot of weight. See, I worked out back in my days at Florida State, so I can take you out as a matter of fact. I'ma tackle you like you're a quarterback, and whip you like it don't make sense. From an ex-football All-American on defense, so it's like that. Step to the mat, and I'll show you where it's at, and it won't be nothing fun. You made a big mistake when you stick to run.